If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys. A special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball hotline.
Butterball has a hotline?
Yeah. It's an 800 number. The phones are staffed by experts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
God, I'm sorry. I love my country. Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball hotline.
Yes, sir.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Watch and learn.
Welcome to the Butterball Hotline.
Hello.
Please stand by for our next available operator to assist you. Hello, welcome to the Butterball Hotline.
Hello.
How can I help you, sir?
Well, first let me say, I think this is a wonderful service you provide.
Well, thank you. May I have your name, please?
I'm Joe Bethersonton. That's one T and with an H in there.
And now.
I got to get better at the names.
Our feature presentation.
In a one-horse open sleigh, over the field we go, laughing all the way.
Here.
The bells on Buckle Ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
We should get the Armenian comedian to marry Wing.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Would that be the best? I get to keep the kids, though. If I have any kids, I get to keep them.
The power couple of all time.
Oh, what fun is to ride a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride.
Can't understand a word she's saying?
You know what I love, though? Is that somehow, through the power of radio, we managed to persuade thousands of people to pay money to buy that song yesterday.
Dude, I would have paid $6.99 just for this song.
This is the great Wing, of course, that New Zealand songbird singing the classic song Jingle Bells, available only, if you can believe this, on Kevin Amin's Super Christmas at Best Buy stores everywhere.
And we would suggest, if you want the CD, that you go to Best Buy and buy it soon, because it is a long Thanksgiving holiday weekend. People are shopping a lot, so and they might run out. We can't promise you it'll be there.
I know we have a completely packed show today. We already have stuff lined up, waiting to get on the air that we may not even have time for.
Yeah, but we have stuff backed up is what the problem is.
I know, we really do. It's crazy how much stuff we're trying to do today. But I'd love to call the Downey store and find out why they're hating. Why they're hating on Kevin and B. Someone said that they said, well, we didn't think it was going to sell, so we didn't order any. Is that possible, really?
No, I don't know if it's possible, but that is, we got a few different emails like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said they didn't want to buy it because they didn't think they'd sell any. And we're like, wow. Okay, then, all right.
What's up with that?
That isn't helpful.
All Best Buy stores.
Well, we did say that.
They should have to all have some.
That's what I think.
You would think so, yeah.
Hey, before we go on, and again, I know we have a lot to talk about. Is anyone paying anyone right now?
I don't see anyone there
with a $20 bill.
King of Mexico, hey, Mr. Justin Timberlake, how about stepping into the studio and paying some cash, mother effer?
Let's hear a little of Dave's Clippers song, Mike, perhaps while we're waiting for the King to stroll in, because you know how long it'll take him.
Hey, Dave, how's it going, buddy?
That was fast. Wow.
What's happening, man?
Not good.
How's it working out for you?
Not good.
Dave, you were talking a pretty big game yesterday about how it wasn't even going to be close, and the Clippers were totally going to win, and what happened, dude?
Oh, they are back. Okay.
The Laker fans don't know how to act.
Yeah. Well,
the Lakers suck, and we know that.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to say that the Clippers sucked more. So,
well, you know,
pay the mother effing man.
Oh, I'm going to pay, but the thing is,
pay the man now. Before we hear the thing is, pay the man.
Rather than give you $20.
Dude, you're not bringing in.
I'd rather give your wife's charity a check.
Oh, that is BS.
What a bird.
How can you turn that down?
How can I turn that down? Because it's our charity, but by charity didn't bet you.
But charity's better than you are.
Oh, dude, he gave me more than that,
oh,
actually.
Oh, Dave, that's so nice.
That's very
Kobe
cool.
Kobe just scored again, by the way.
He did, yeah.
No, you know what? Kobe just scored because he got fouled on a phantom call. That was such bogus.
Okay, wait a minute.
That was such a bogus. Oh, man, referee.
And that's why the Clippers lost?
No, the Clippers gave it away last night. They played crappy again for the eighth straight game, and they still were in it till the end. And
let me ask you a question, Dave. You're a good guy. Yeah. Were you planning on giving money to the charity anyway?
No, that's not even for me. That's just for somebody else. Here's your
Oh, okay. It's funny because I didn't see the name. I was like, oh, he doesn't have his name on the check.
Dude, but there's your money.
That was the guy for the calendars, for the CD side of yesterday.
Oh, very funny. Very funny.
You almost got away with it, too.
Yeah, I would never do that.
So the Lakers fans don't know how to act. Lakers suck, and we know that.
Oh, dude, they don't know how to act, man. I was at the game, and let me just say, Laker fans are Raider fans. They're a bunch of Rudys.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh, Mike.
So is there some crossover? Of course.
There's a tough crowd at Staples Center.
Of course. And there should be.
What's up, Tip Thomas? You're stupid, eh? You're dumb. Oh, it was a horrible.
So now you can't stand up for your team, so you have to start attacking the other team's fans. Is that where we're at?
I always attacking fans. The fans are the worst.
A, the Lakers rule, and they shot like 30% in the first half and still were up by three in the first half. And your whole basis of this song is that you don't need Jack.
That's true.
Got Malcolm in the middle. God, what a... I want you to take notice that KTLA-5, the Clipper channel,
yeah,
uses a picture of Jack Nicholson at his one Clipper game last year to promo the LA Clippers. Really? That's how sad it is with you.
Well, that's CW, dude. That,
apparently, they don't need Malcolm in the middle.
Apparently, and they do need Jack.
They do need Jack, it turns out.
No, exactly. But Clippers played bad again. The
Clipper Nation's back. Let's look at the lyrics in retrospect.
The Laker fans don't know how to act.
They
know.
Yeah.
No.
The Lakers suck, and we know that.
Yeah. They do.
We're playoff bound, and that's a fact.
Yeah. We are.
Who they are. Elton Brand. He cleans the boards because he's the man.
He did.
Cadino Mobley cuts through the lane. Sam Cassell has a poster game.
Dominated some
money. Who the fans? Don't eat Jack. Got
yes,
Malcolm in the
do.
Middle. Don't eat Jack. Got
yes,
Michael Clark Duncan. Don't eat Jack. Got Penny Marshall. Don't eat Jack. Got Dancing Daryl. Don't eat Jack. Got King of Mexico.
No.
Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico.
No.
Mexico.
No.
Got King of Mexico.
No.
Got King of Mexico.
No.
You know what? I'm tired of Kevin being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props.
No.
With a team that also has Maggette.
No.
Thomas.
No.
Ross, Livingston, and Kamen.
No.
It's over. You know who's the best in the West?
No.
There ain't no Warriors. There ain't no trails blazing. The Lakers are drying up. The Suns are setting. Clipper Nation number one.
No.
2006.
No.
You know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
No.
That's a remix, everybody.
That's a special one. Yeah. Laker remix of that song.
Oh, man.
All right, Dave, please step out.
Not a good day yesterday.
Good day. A real good day yesterday.
Not a good day.
All right, step the hell out.
No.
Go Clips.
Just get out. Go ahead. Move on.
Too late for them to go Clips, by
the
way.
Are we going to have to get security, Dave?
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho. It is Wednesday, and it is the 22nd of Blovember.
It's an insane show today.
Yes, it is. We have Hugh Jackman, who's going to be on the show just after 6.
Yum. Mm,
that's right.
Talk to him about the fountain. He goes back 1,000 years in time to save the love
most
of his life.
Honked up movie ever. This is Darren Aronofsky, the guy who did Requiem for a Dream, probably one of my 20 favorite movies of all time ever. And he also did Pi. The guy is just honked up beyond belief. And I want to hear Hugh Jackman explain the plot to this movie because it sounds like Kevin's joking, but it's even weirder than that.
This is bizarre.
And the story, you read the story of this movie where he had it all put together and ready to go, and then it just fell apart and he gave up. And then, but he just couldn't let it go.
Later came back.
Yeah.
I love that.
A full new cast.
We're going to talk to him today. We also, Psycho Mike and I decided that we needed to ambush paparazzi style Harvey Levin at TMZ.com.
That's awesome.
And because he teased something on our show and then really turned his back on us.
Yes.
And we figured the only thing we could do in response is to break in and interview the man about the story.
I'm trying. This is just like a reporter standing outside Michael Richards' house to say,
exactly.
Hey, explain what you did, except this time you turned the camera around on Harvey Levin.
Exactly. And they told Very us funny. That Harvey's not available. He's got meetings. So Psycho Mike and I just went there yesterday after,
really?
after the CD signing and the show. And we sat in the lobby for probably an hour.
Yep.
Just waiting. Patiently.
You guys, not only is Harvey very busy, he's under the weather today. I don't think this is a good idea.
He's not feeling good. He didn't even go to lunch with us.
Was it, I know we'll talk about this later, but was it the coolest feeling? Did you feel like Mike Wallace
yes.
walking through that room where you knew you weren't supposed to be?
Turning the screws on him is fun.
It's awesome. Harvey's a good dude. I'm sure he took it well.
He's a great dude, yeah. And yeah. we think he took it well. We don't know what happened after he went back in when we left. But we think so. Also on the show today, we have Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
We do?
Yes.
We really do.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Lightning says we do, and he didn't leave us any information on that, so I'll be surprised if it happens.
No, it's supposed to happen. It's
okay.
It's a done deal from what I understand.
All right.
Jay-Z on the show today.
Then I get to say great.
I get to say the Hovis and the Hizzy, like I always do.
All right. You can say it. I don't think I can pull it off like you do. So we're going to talk to him about his new CD and his MTV special and his trip to Africa, a bunch of different things. Also on today's show, we got the Movie Beat because it is Wednesday, but it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and movies come out today.
Yes.
So Ralph will tell you about those movies. We have Petros Papadakis on the show today talking about
Fantastic.
Football mm-hmm. for the next 4 days. We have John Madden on the show today to tell us about the turducken.
Oh, good.
Because I have many questions about that. Many questions.
Not too late to change your meal plans. If you have not thought of the turducken, perhaps you should.
And speaking of the turducken, we're going to make a a call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Yay! Dude, you buried the lead, man. That's the thing that's going to keep them.
Worst,
you know,
5 minutes of the year, dude.
That's what's going to keep them sitting through hacks like Hugh Jackman and Jay-Z is getting to the Butterball Turkey Hotline call.
I've been dreading this since mid-March. It's finally here.
That bad.
And also, I don't know if you saw Heather Mills McCartney on Extra last night.
No.
But, yeah. She's a saint, people. She's a saint.
Really?
She's a saint.
She's put up with so much, we have no
idea.
She
loves unconditionally, and if that's a crime, then she's guilty.
I can't wait.
That's the tone in that interview, so.
Okay.
Well, I'll play you some highlights of that, because it was pretty silly. Pretty ridiculous.
Good.
So, that's all coming up this morning. Am I missing something, Bean?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Sounds like a lot of show. I would like to say, if we have time, I'd like to talk to K-Rock listener Travis.
Oh, right.
Who came on the air with us a couple days ago, Lisa, you recall, to have asked for our assistance to find his brother who was missing.
Yes.
And he did turn up. They did find him yesterday. And it was some K-Rock listeners who kind of helped him with the clue that led to Brother Aaron.
Oh,
how cool is that?
Great.
So we'd like to get him back on the air maybe later today and get an update. And they were getting ready to cancel Thanksgiving, the whole deal. Instead, you know, be out combing the streets looking for their poor brother. But apparently they're all going to be back together and healthy and happy and fine for the holidays. So it's real good news, and we'll get that update later this morning,
Where could we schedule him in when Jay-Z doesn't
Don't
show?
Don't even say it. Don't even say it.
We'll put him there.
Oh, how dare you.
Butterball Turkey Hotline could go. I'm just saying, I'm looking at the list of things that we could bump.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say you
to.
Bump the chick with one leg before you bump the Butterball Turkey Hotline. That's what I say.
All right, Ralph Showbizbeat is coming up next.
Anyway, I'm out of here. Couple reminders. Don't forget Joan Jett and the Blackhearts
mm-hmm.
are playing the Fonda Theater.
Woo!
Coming up. And that's...
What
anyway,
day?
I'm out of here and I'm going to close.
When?
And I'll see you next
when
Sunday.
When are they playing?
Even sooner. You never know where I'm going to be.
That's true. You never know where Rodney's going to be. Oh, wait. He's the same two places every day of his life.
He's only at three places in the world: his apartment, Cantor's, and K-Rock. That's it. You're not ever
going to
see him anywhere else. He's not freaking Batman.
We're not in danger of running into him anywhere, anytime, except for that one restaurant.
Hey, Rodney, I was at the Renaissance Fair, and I thought Oh, wait, that could have been you.
Rocky, need to go get something? You got time.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay, bye. Hey, Rodney, I was at a NASCAR event over the weekend. Was that you? Oh, wait, that wouldn't be you either. I mean, it doesn't matter. Whatever you did. Hey, I went to see Borat. Did I see you? Oh, wait, that couldn't have been you either. You said three places and that's it.
So why would he say you never know where I'm going to be?
I don't know.
You should run into me at any point in time.
Yay, 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. I'm out of here.
Okay, thank you, Rodney. It is 5:52. It is time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Speaking of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, recently seen at a party, making out together, Joan Jett and Carmen Electra.
Oh!
Star magazine.
Oh, no kidding.
Is she still hot, Joan?
for I think she is.
She looks, I mean, I know she's
she looks exactly out and all, the same.
Yeah, but she looks way dykier now than she
now,
used
have
to.
You seen her
she
recently?
Rough.
When she was promoting her recent album. She was on Leno or some one of those shows. And she looked exactly like she did in 1985 or whatever. She was a runaway.
Lady sitting next to me on the plane was reading Us Weekly, and they had a photo of Carmen Electra and Joan Jett together. And I was thinking how hot Carmen Electra is and how not Joan Jett is.
You know, for a lesbian?
Yeah, well, on that scale.
She's smoking.
Yeah, all right.
For being a guy who rings the bell for Betty White.
I know.
Never let him talk about women ever, period.
I know, he's got the worst taste in women.
Horrible.
How dare you.
Bjork is what he finds attractive.
By the way, the photographers are up Ralph's ass today. Yesterday we couldn't get anywhere near them. Today they're all over him.
Yeah, they're very loud today. All right, Christmas has come early, everybody. Here's my gift to you. The cast is set for the upcoming season of VH1's Celebrity Fit Club 5.
Yes.
I give you this year's fatties. We're going to be trying to lose some weight. Maureen Marcia Brady McCormick.
Really?
Tiffany, former mall rocker Tiffany.
Wow. I didn't know either of them have big. Gotten fat.
Yeah. DeBrat.
Oh, yeah. She needs it.
Yeah. Kimberly Locke from American Idol, who's now a plus-size model for Lane Bryant. It seems like she would diet herself right out of a job if that were the case.
Yeah.
Cletus T. Judd, who apparently is some country music person.
Cletus?
He's a comedian.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Get her done.
And Dustin Screech Diamond.
He's not fat either.
He's not fat?
Maybe he got fat. Nah. I don't know.
This is bogus.
Wow, I thought it'd be a pleasant surprise for everyone, but everyone's very cranky.
No, it is.
Because they're not that fat.
It's Screech. Who cares? I don't care if he's anorexic. I want him on television being an ass.
Okay.
So I can hate him.
He's probably eating right now like a crazy man.
Yes, Gene Simmons? What?
No. Okay. I'm thinking that the general public doesn't like seeing like the guys like Bone Crusher and Bam Margera's dad, because even though they do lose like 85 pounds, you don't really see that much of a discernible difference in them. And I think the television show is just going to aim for crazies now because of that.
Crazies who need to drop 20.
Fantastic.
I'm just speculating. Yeah. I think that's it.
I'm fine with that.
Make it more of a surreal life and less of a fat club.
Think how much Screech has to eat, though, to keep those dirty Sanchez's coming.
Oh. 5 till 6. Man.
It doesn't even make sense.
I know.
Forbes magazine has released their list of the top 10 richest fictional characters.
Richest fictional characters.
They do this every year. Usually around this time of the year, because Santa Claus is usually number one.
Right.
Because they have to assume he has infinite money because
that's
a
bonus
the presents.
List.
But this year they changed it. Ooh. Santa's off the top 10. He's off the list.
How did he go from one to out of the top 10?
Because they figured it was bogus.
Right.
But Daddy Warbucks.
Everybody else that's a cartoon is not bogus?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Daddy Warbucks from Little Orphan Annie.
Mm-hmm.
They made him number one this year because they assumed he would have made so much money in war contracts and munitions with this thing in Iraq that he would be the richest cartoon character by far. Because that's what he used to be in. He used to be in defense contracts.
Stop reading this list.
Interesting.
Put it away.
Here's your top 10. Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island is the 10th richest fictional character.
Come on.
Lover.
Not much call for that one, is there?
The Prince of Nigeria from that internet scam.
Oh, sure.
They go on, you won the lottery, just deposit some of your money in your account.
He seems to have millions everywhere.
Internet scam guy, he's the 9th richest fictional character.
Okay.
I thought that was hilarious. Tony Stark, who plays Iron Man, who's the superhero Iron Man.
Yeah.
He's an industrialist. He's 8th on the list.
Okay.
Bruce Wayne.
Sure.
Batman.
Gotta be. Yeah.
Billionaire Bruce Wayne, while he's not fighting crime, is the 7th richest fictional character in the world. Number 6. The Monopoly board guy.
Come on. This
That's
is
it.
Just
get out.
Right.
Get out.
Right there.
Seriously, get out.
Right there you have to say. Okay, stop this list, whatever it is. Monopoly.
Ralph, we've never put up a blockade on the story before, but this one has gone too far.
The Monopoly guy.
The guy with the monocle.
Come on.
The Monopoly, you know.
You're with the out here.
He's rich.
Leave.
Come on. Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh,
is 5th.
The Monopoly guy.
And this is weak.
Ralph has lost it.
And rightfully so.
Richie Rich is fourth.
Sure.
Scrooge McDuck is third. C. Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons is second. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Daddy Warbucks with his munitions and defense contracts, number one.
Just had to finish it, didn't you? Just can't let it go.
I'm a professional, Lisa.
What's wrong with you? How does that sound for a change?
What the hell kind of story is that?
Sadly, Lex Luthor, J.R. Ewing, Goldfinger, Charles Foster Kane, Cruella De Vil, Gordon Gekko, and Jay Gatsby all fell off the list. Sorry, we're out of time. Willy Wonka dropped to 11th.
You're not still talking about that bogus list.
Right.
Please be done.
People have no sense of whimsy.
The Monopoly guy.
Oh, it's a big war between Kelly Ripa and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Really?
Did you hear about this?
No.
Apparently, and this just cheeses me off to no end, when people look for ways to be offended.
Sure, that happens all the time.
Kelly Ripa is on doing her show, right? And Clay Aiken is guest hosting for Reege.
Okay.
Okay, bad choice, first of all, but go ahead.
So they're interviewing Cheryl Burke and Emmett Smith, winners of Dancing with the Stars, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Gay Aiken is just all just Dancing with the Stars out, and he's asking all these questions. And Kelly Ripa's trying to say something, and he reaches over and puts his hand over Kelly Ripa's mouth to shut her up. Slaps his hand across her mouth and muzzles her, basically, so she can't talk.
I didn't think he ever touched a woman.
Well, that's what they're saying. And anyway, she spins out and says, "Hey, that's a no-no. I don't know where that hand's been, honey." Well, Rosie O'Donnell goes on The View yesterday and says it's a homophobic remark.
Oh, geez.
What?
That Kelly Ripa says only said that because he's a gay man. And so she's trying to insinuate some way that gay men are unclean or unsafe to be touched because he put her, because she said, "I don't know where that hand's
been." Are you joking?
I kid you not.
Rosie said that.
And she said that's a homophobic remark that Kelly Ripa made. So Kelly Ripa's so cheesed off with all the shows on live, she calls the show and says, "That is ridiculous." She said, "Look, he's out there shaking hands with everybody in the audience. It's cold and flu season. And he reaches over and touches me on the face, which, first of all, is rude and way out of line. Should not be touching my face. And slaps his hand across my nose and mouth." I said, "I didn't want to catch anything germ-wise, cold and flu season-wise from this guy."
Right.
Especially, by the way, when you're a guest co-host on her show.
Right.
You show a little deference to the real person.
She said, to imply that it's homophobic is outrageous, Rosie. You should know better and you should be more responsible about what you say. So apparently the two of them are all cheesed off at each other.
Well, Kelly's right and Rosie's way wrong on this one.
But yeah. Rosie can sit on Kelly and kill her.
Rosie said if it was a straight man, if it was a cute man, she wouldn't have said anything.
Oh, for God's sake, BS. Rosie. Why are you stupid?
Yeah.
We can explain a lot there in the tub. Because Vivi always looks at me and says, "When am I getting my fur?"
Ralph, I'm sorry, but has Clay Aiken even officially come out?
No. Not really.
No, he hasn't?
He refuses to talk about his sexuality, despite the fact that he was stripping for a green beret on the internet.
Well, there was
so
that.
Rosie pretty much outed him on top of that.
But who
so
wasn't?
It was pretty strong.
Who hasn't done that, right?
And I know you guys were hanging with Harvey the Hammer 11 yesterday.
Yeah.
Great story in the New York Times today about TMZ.com.
Really?
Yep. Not a bad story.
I have to go back today?
No, it's a great story.
Okay.
About the fact that, and here's the Times quote, in October, TMZ, a site that did not exist 1 year ago, was the number one entertainment news site in the world with far more traffic than eOnline, TVGuide.com, and People.com.
That is amazing.
Wow. It is.
That really is amazing.
They've earned it. They've worked real hard for that.
I feel bad for the way I treated them yesterday.
The number one entertainment news site in America.
Wow.
And it didn't exist but a year ago. So.
It's hard to watch Entertainment Tonight or look at the Drudge Report or any other place you go without seeing something that links to TMZ anymore because they are just breaking all the stories.
Mario from the Mario Brothers game, 15 richest fictional character. 15th richest.
Oh, just kill me now!
Isn't he like a plumber?
He's a plumber!
I was going to say, he's pretty rich. Pretty rich for a plumber. Lara Croft is 14. Tomb Raider.
Come on.
Tony Montana from Scarface, 13.
Okay.
And Lucius Malfoy from Harry Potter, the 12th richest.
All right, take the bad man's paper away.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
That's not a good list. That's a bad list.
The Monopoly guy.
We're sorry that you had to hear that.
Celebrity birthdays today. Little Steven from the E Street Band and The Sopranos. He's 56 years old today. Tone. 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 That's all he says on that show. Tone. 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 That's all he says all episode long. Jamie Lee Curtis, actress, 48 years old today. She has a penis, right?
Yes, that is. That's a proven fact.
Okay, good.
Oh, wait, no, it's not.
And Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
One of our favorites around here is just 22 years young today.
So. Oh my gosh.
We celebrate her 22 years old.
Her hot.
Unbelievable.
Great actress, top of the world, making big movies, could not be bigger. She's the anti-Kirsten Dunst, is what she is.
That's correct.
She's got everything. We love her. We love her so much.
Yes, we do.
When's the Butterball Turkey Hotline?
Yeah, not till later.
Can the Monopoly guy call the Butterball Turkey Hotline?
We'll check on that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Forbes magazine has released their list of the top 10 richest fictional characters.
Richest fictional characters.
They do this every year. Usually around this time of the year, because Santa Claus is usually number one.
Right.
Because they have to assume he has infinite money because he buys
all
the presents.
List.
But this year they changed it. Ooh. Santa's off the top 10. He's off the list.
How did he go from one to out of the top 10?
Because they figured it was bogus.
Right.
But Daddy Warbucks.
Everybody else that's a cartoon is not bogus?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Daddy Warbucks from Little Orphan Annie.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
They made him number one this year. Because they assumed he would have made so much money in war contracts and munitions with this thing in Iraq that he would be the richest cartoon character by far. Because that's what he used to be in. He used to be in defense contracts.
Stop reading this list. Interesting.
Put it away. Here's your top 10. Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island is the 10th richest fictional character.
Come on.
Right? Love her.
Not much call for that one, is there?
The Prince of Nigeria from that internet scam.
Oh, sure.
They go on to all you won the lottery, just deposit some of your money in your account.
He seems to have millions
the
everywhere.
Internet scam guy, he's the 9th richest fictional character.
Okay.
I thought that was hilarious. Tony Stark, who plays Iron Man, who's the superhero Iron Man.
Yeah.
He's an industrialist. He's 8th on the list.
Okay.
Bruce Wayne.
Sure.
Batman.
Gotta be. Yeah.
Billionaire Bruce Wayne, while he's not fighting crime, is the 7th richest fictional character in the world. Number 6. The Monopoly board guy.
Come on. This
That's
is
it.
Just...
Get out.
Right.
Get out.
Right there. Seriously, get out.
Right there you have to say.
Okay, stop this list, whatever it is.
Monopoly.
We've never put up a blockade on the storyboard, but this one has gone too far.
The Monopoly guy. The guy with the monocle.
Come on.
The Monopoly, you know.
You're
with the out of here. He's rich.
Leave.
Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh,
it's 5th.
The Monopoly guy.
Man, this is weak.
Ralph has lost it. And rightfully so.
Richie Rich is 4th.
Sure.
Scrooge McDuck is 3rd. C. Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons is 2nd. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Daddy Warbucks with his munitions and defense contracts, number 1.
Just had to finish it, didn't you? Just can't let it go.
I'm a What's professional,
wrong with
Lisa.
You? How does that sound for a change?
What the hell kind of story is that?
Sadly, Lex Luthor, J.R. Ewing, Goldfinger, Charles Foster Kane, Cruella De Vil, Gordon Gekko, and Jay Gatsby all fell off the list.
No. Sorry, we're out of
time. Willy Wonka dropped to 11th.
You're not still talking about that bogus list.
Right.
Please be done.
People have no sense of whimsy.
The Monopoly guy.
We got something very special for you right now. This is the new undercover undercover assignment for Kevin and Psycho Mike yesterday.
Well, Harvey Levin, as you know, is our favorite from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us a tease on, was it Friday, this past Friday, Thursday, that he had a story that he was going to tell us on Monday. And it involved Michael Jackson and an icon and bubbles and two enemas.
Yes.
Now, you can't give us that kind of information and expect us to sit on it. And then when we talked to him earlier this week, he had a change of heart. He didn't want to tell us on Monday.
He refused to tell us.
Guys, I know I told you I'd give you that story today, but I've changed my mind. And we said, unacceptable, sir.
Well, on the phone, we said, okay, you've done us a solid for the show for so long that we're fine with it. And then he reminded me of that when we got there. But we changed our mind hardcore. And yesterday, after we went to Signal Hill to the Best Buy, Psycho Mike and I went to Harvey Levin's office and busted into him and busted into his office and tried to get some information out of the man. Harvey, Harvey, Harvey.
Guys, wait a minute.
Harvey, Harvey, Harvey. Harvey.
I know why you're here. You're here because I crapped out on you yesterday, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, on Friday, you told us that you had a huge story that you were going to publish on Monday, and it involved Michael Jackson and another huge celebrity and his monkey bubbles, and it involved an enema.
I was asking you guys a big favor, that I had a pang of conscience, and you said, you know, you've been really good to the show, so we'll honor that.
We were lying. we were going through a list of people that Michael Jackson knows well enough to get an enema with. Macaulay Culkin.
Barged into my office.
Elizabeth Taylor. Emmanuel Lewis. Lisa Marie Presley.
Guys,
he just stopped when I said Lisa Marie.
He did. He paused.
You paused. No, I was just, I'm horrified that.
You paused.
That was a way to pause.
No, wait a minute. You're asking me if the maid is bringing an enema for.
Michael and Bubbles both got an enema?
No, I have no.
Wait.
You trapped me.
You're telling us.
No, I you know what, honestly?
That Michael and his monkey.
No, I did not.
Got an enema.
I didn't say that.
Who's your source? Did they use the butt to butt double tube?
Come on, you can't give us that little nugget of food and expect us like starving children.
I can't believe I said what I said.
So it's Michael and Bubbles, they got the enema.
No, I didn't say
that. I'm saying that.
Okay, well, you can say that.
I'm saying that. What other role could Bubbles the chimp play? He can't tell you the story. He had to have a tube up his butt.
I am listening to K-Big from now on.
Where are you going to self-publish If I Did It now that Fox is not going to put you on?
No.
Did Screech give you a dirty Sanchez? Is that a no?
That's a no. Is this how you spent your day, seriously?
Yes.
I think it's disgusting that this country has come to the paparazzi attacking people and ambushing them and people like you coming by. I really do think.
They need better, stricter paparazzi laws?
They do need stricter paparazzi laws. Like right now, they need them.
So Michael and Bubbles.
I didn't say that.
There was only two enemas. There weren't three. And since it's not the superstar, it has to be Michael and Bubbles. That's awesome. Come on. How do you keep that to yourself? Aren't you just bursting to get it out?
No.
How can you not be? That's the kind of thing that's going to rot you from the inside. You're going to explode one day.
If I wanted to do this, I would have done this on your stupid-ass radio show.
Listen, if people wanted to give you the information they gave you, they would
they
do it.
They didn't. But
you ambush them, we ambush you.
I don't ambush.
Oh, you ambush.
I do not ambush.
You ambush. Let me ask you this. Who did they get more shit out of, Bubbles or Michael?
Oh, God.
Do you know that?
No. I don't know that.
All right. So that's all we got.
Oh, he wouldn't crack.
That's all we got.
He's tough.
Although it seems like maybe Lisa Marie Presley gave Michael and the chimp an enema.
It seemed. But at one point he said the maid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so if it's not the. And I was thinking later, if it's this icon, the icon would never tell anybody if the icon and Michael got the enema. Had to be Michael and Bubbles.
Yeah.
Had to be.
Yeah. And by the way, Lisa Marie wouldn't count as an icon.
True.
So she wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, when you said Elizabeth Taylor, I thought, please tell me that's not true. But then I thought, please tell me it's true.
Yeah. That would be the best case scenario.
Hey, what was the look on Harvey's face when you stormed into his office with a camera and a microphone?
Because this
never happens to him.
First of all, I've never met him in person.
That's funny.
No kidding.
But he knew what I looked like. He said from TV, which is a bad sign. And his mouth dropped, and he was looking at both Psycho Mike and I, and he was like, what?
What's going on here? Who let you in? Who let you in?
We had his people not tell him, and then we just barged into his office. And it was
That's fantastic.
So I do believe now, from my deductive reason, it has to be Michael and Bubbles. Don't know the source. Don't know for sure. He's not saying, but he's a tough nut to crack.
I believe, having heard that investigative report, that you are the new Ed Bradley.
Thank you.
I think there's a slot on 60 Minutes with your name on it.
That's what I'm talking about.
Doesn't get any bigger than our next guest, by the way, who is currently seen in every single movie at the Cineplex near you. And he's got a brand new one opening up today called The Fountain. Let's say hello once again to our pal, Hugh Jackman.
Morning, Hugh.
Good morning. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's hard to avoid a Hugh Jackman movie these days. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Matt.
We were talking about this movie that you're in, The Fountain, a little bit earlier, and I'm not positive that I've got a firm grip on what it's about.
Fair enough. I was in the movie. I'm not 100% sure. No, I got a pretty good idea about it. Look, because the movie is like unlike anything you've ever seen before. The best description of this movie is it's an experience, go along with no expectations and just let it wash over you. But it's pretty much basically a love story that spans 1,000 years. It's called The Fountain, i.e. The Fountain of Youth, and it's sort of basically set in the present day where a guy Well, he's a neuroscientist, and he's trying to save his wife, find a cure for his wife who's dying of a terminal illness. And it really, he's working his guts out to try and do it, and he's scared of her dying, and she's sort of coming to terms with the fact that she's going to die. She's like, let's just go for a walk. We keep replaying this theme. She goes, we go for a walk, and I'm too busy. Come on, let's go for a walk. It's the first snow. We always go for a walk in the first snow. And I guarantee you, when you see this movie, even if you don't fully get it, you're going to want to, if you're not with your loved one, you're going to want to race to your loved one or whoever that is important to you and give them a hug and tell them you love them and just connect with them. And it's a very, in a way, a very romantic sort of movie.
If guys take their girl to this romantic movie, are we going to get laid?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's where he's going.
You're just going to have to talk a little bit beforehand. Like, just a couple of hugs. I love you. That's probably enough.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Now, much has been written in recent weeks leading up to the release of this film that the director, Darren Aronofsky, just could not stop thinking about this story. This is the movie that he has been trying to make for years. What is it about this that was so personal and that made him so passionate about getting it made at any cost, Hugh?
Darren has done, if you know his work, Requiem for a Dream and Pi, he's someone who's pretty unrelenting. I think when he gets an idea in his head, he follows it through. And this is, in a way, this movie is sort of about what is the most important thing in life. And I think if I look at his life, he's found a lot of happiness with a partner and Rachel Weisz. He's found that true love, which is really what the movie's about. He's now got a baby. And so it seems to me that this is just sort of what he was going through and the things he was exploring about what is really important in life, you know? We get so caught up with our Blackberries and our texting messages and, you know, schedules and working too much. But is it what really is going to make us happy at the end of the day? And I think these are the questions he was wrestling with and, you know, and wanted to make a movie about that.
And I think the answer is Rachel Weisz is the answer. Yeah. That's what's going to make you happy at the end of the day. Right?
But hard to imagine happiness and true love there, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you play three different roles in The Fountain. Are they very, very different characters?
Yes and no. I mean, one's set in the 1500s. He's a Spanish conquistador. One's a present neuroscientist. And one's this guy. I was bald, shaved my head. And in fact, my entire body I shaved to play this guy who sits in a lotus position, does Tai Chi, and hangs out in a spaceship and in the future. It's pretty trippy, by the way. So, and yet they're all kind of the same person. So even though I gave them a different physicality and they're very different sort of locations and time periods, they're sort of all the same person.
So it's kind of like Eddie Murphy in The Nutty Professor. Right or no?
Yeah, just not as funny.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see Hugh Jackman in the fat suit. That's what I want to see. Yeah, the movie comes out today, just in time for the Thanksgiving holiday.
Fantastic.
It's all about, you know, what's this weekend? I mean, I'm an Aussie, right? So I'm new to Thanksgiving, but it's all about family, right? And
exactly.
Yeah. Important and sort of really connecting and giving thanks, and sort of it's a good time for this movie to come out, I think.
Hugh, what are you in that's coming out next week?
I've got two movies next week. I think this is the last, thank God, because I have a funny feeling if these movies don't go down very well, this is the last we'll be talking.
No.
I don't think you have anything to worry about. Hugh Jackman is the busiest man in Hollywood. He's in theaters again right now in Flushed Away. He's in Happy Feet. He's in The Prestige. And now he's got The Fountain that comes out everywhere today. It does sound fascinating. And we always enjoy talking to you, Hugh. You're an awesome interview and a good dude. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right. Good on you.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
Oh, that's good times.
You know, as I listen back to that, Lisa was fine. It was just
me. I didn't have the crappy line.
And I do remember while we were recording the crappy line saying to Lisa, there is no way I can say this line and make it come out right. It's just not going to happen.
It's the Kevin Beach Show, K-Rock. It's Wednesday morning. Yes, stop the emails, stop the calls, stop the Afro line. We are going to be calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline. That is happening later on this morning.
We hope to. It's a very busy show.
I know it's busy. We got Jay-Z on the program today, also the Wednesday edition of the Movie Beat. First, though, let's go to the email bag and see what folks are writing about.
Hey, Kevin, I just wanted to know when the Almost Acoustic Christmas tickets go on sale. I went to Ticketmaster and looked it up and couldn't find it, so please email me back with a date and time. Samantha, here's the deal, Samantha. And I know that people, that we do things pretty much the same way every year, and people kind of check in every once in a while but don't listen regularly, and they're kind of afraid maybe we announced it and they didn't hear about it. We have not announced it yet. As a matter of fact, are we allowed to say that when we're going to announce it?
I don't even know the answer to that, when we're going to announce it. So if you tell the listeners, you'll be telling me too.
Next week.
Okay.
So don't worry about it. Don't worry
about it. Well, it would have to be. Isn't the Acoustic Christmas Night number one, isn't it a week from Saturday?
2 weeks from...
2 weeks from Saturday.
Saturday, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's coming up fast. So, yeah, that information will be on the air. Dear Kevin and me, just wanted to share with you that I was so happy when the K-Rock calendar came out this year because I know you didn't have one last year. So I went out immediately to Best Buy and bought one. I flipped it open in my birthday month and I looked at my birthday date. Then I was in shock. I almost dropped dead when I saw who I share my birthday with. My birthday is November 14th, the same day as Beans. So I have to ask, does this mean I'll end up retarded like he is? If so, I'm 25 now, so how much time do I have? Wish me luck. Have a nice day. Sincerely, Buddy.
Well, I don't know. That's
I love it when people... He got us confused, right? Because I'm the retarded-sounding guy. Yeah, well, I love that. It finally worked in my favor.
I don't know whether that's what Buddy was thinking. Right. Right. She may think I'm retarded, but she's worried that because we were born... We had the same birthday, that somehow she's inflicted with the same ailment that either you or I are. And then eventually it's going to catch up to her.
You can catch retarded. That's true.
Didn't know that.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I was working yesterday and my desk is within earshot of my desk of my boss's office. And he often works with music on, but I couldn't believe my ears when I heard...
What?
Oh, you touched my ta-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
He was playing Gunther. I tried awesome. As hard as I could not to burst out laughing, but I couldn't hold it in. I had to let you guys know about the magic. Keep up the great work, Andrea in Hermosa Beach. Can you imagine hearing this from your boss?
That's fantastic. Dear Kevin and Bean, I don't know if you saw this news story. It has to be so embarrassing for the Atlanta police. They started by raiding a house where a grandmother lived yesterday. They broke down the door, and Grandma, who's 92, whips off 3 shots and nails each of the cops who were raiding the house.
Oh, my God.
This is a true story, by the way. I saw this on CNN yesterday, too. Not bad for a 92-year-old. Not just a fast shot, but an accurate shot. She hit all 3 of the police officers who were coming in. She put 3 cops in the hospital before they were even able to draw on her. Imagine if there had been actual criminals in the house with serious weapons. These cops could not dodge Grandma's bullets. What if it had been, say, an AK-47? Well, they did shoot back. They killed her. 92-year-old Grandma. Damn. Oops. Sorry. Our bad. Sorry about your grandma. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
I'm out of town for the holiday, but thought you guys might like to hear about this story for tomorrow's show. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Don't get shot.
Very nice.
In Long Beach.
Very nice. They should have not shot her. They should have hired her.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. But imagine what it's like for her, like grandkids and great-grandkids. Oh, man, I heard your grandma passed. I'm really sorry. What did she? Was it old age? No, police shootout.
She got 92. 3 of them, though. She got 3 of them.
Dude.
Here's an email about my favorite TV show, Dexter.
Oh, yeah.
On Showtime. Oh, my God, is this good. Just heard you talking about Dexter on Showtime. I must agree, it is the best show on TV, hands down. Have been watching since the first episode and look forward to it on Sunday nights. Too bad there's not a real Dexter in the world today. This is a guy who is a serial killer, but he uses it for good. He goes out into the world, finds people that beat the system, like they're murderers or whatever, and then kills them.
But in very painful ways.
Vigilante.
Yes, it's awesome. Otherwise, OJ would have disappeared the day after he was acquitted. Sounds like a good career move for you, Bean. Steve in Redondo Beach.
You know, it's not dissimilar from the guy in the Saw movies, too. That's kind of what he does, is he gets the bad guys and then tortures and kills them. Yeah, I've got one more. Of course, we all know by now from listening to the program, there is no such thing as the Kevin Bean curse. I think we've disproved that many, many times. But I got an email from Ed about that. Guys, you're totally ruining my ideas and beliefs to the Kevin Bean curse. I remember early this season, you had on a guest NASCAR driver, Jimmy Johnson. Well, he just won the NASCAR Nextel Cup Championship this weekend. Can the Kevin Bean curse be going away? Say it isn't so. And here's why I read the email, because this is the way Ed thinks, and I like this dude. You know, maybe it's just that the curse doesn't catch up to the drivers because they're going so fast. That's just my theory.
We have a slow curse.
Exactly.
You can actually outrun it. I got 2 about the Kevin and Bean Super Christmas, the CD that came out yesterday at all Southern California Best Buy stores. I was wanting to purchase a copy of the CD, but I am in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And I notice you're only selling it in Southern California. Is there any way I can buy it? Dear Kevin and Bean, I was wondering what the deal is with the Christmas CD. If you don't live in the L.A. area, I live in Washington. I'd love to buy a copy. And I've gotten a lot of these emails, and the answer is, can't really sell them outside the state.
Yeah.
So you got to get them locally. Some people put them up on eBay.
You have a friend who lives here? They might buy them for you.
That's probably the best way. Yeah. Some people do end up putting them on eBay. But if you want to get one, the CD did come out yesterday. It's going to be on sale all weekend. Friday, what's Black Friday when everybody goes shopping, Saturday, Sunday. So if you want to get it, you should get it right away. That's our advice to you. You know what we haven't played yet is the Lost Christmas episode.
Oh, I love it.
We haven't played that yet. And this is Santa Claus, and this is a little show that we think is coming back in the spring.
This Wednesday night on ABC, the survivors of Oceanic Air Flight 815 welcome a new visitor to the island.
Jack, I just saw something land on the beach.
What is it, Kate?
This is going to sound crazy, but I think it was a sleigh.
Ho, ho, ho! Has anybody seen my polar bear?
It's the Lost Christmas episode with special guest star Santa Claus.
Ho, ho, ho! I've checked my list, Sawyer, and you haven't been very nice.
Why don't you cram it up your chimney, you fat f***? And a shocking secret is uncovered.
What's the matter with Jim?
Son just told him that the baby is either another Immaculate Conception or it's Hurley's, and the others try to keep Christmas from coming by stealing all the presents from... No, wait, that was the Grinch. Wait, okay. The others tell Michael and Walt that the Dharma Initiative... hold on. I don't think Michael and Walt are on the show anymore.
Not enough.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, the leader of the others, Henry, or Banner, whatever his name is,
both.
He decides that Desmond, you remember him, right? The British guy?
Right.
Or was he Irish? All right, anyway, they decide, you know, the others, that Desmond will go back to the North Pole with Santa Claus. And hold on, wasn't Desmond blown up when the hatch exploded? Because I missed a few episodes last season. And I'll tell you, once a couple slip by, it's almost impossible to catch up. Anyway, it's the Lost Christmas special, and Santa Claus is on it. Yes, seriously, Santa. Because honestly, at this point, we can throw anything at you on this show, and you'll buy it.
That's true.
Lost, this Wednesday on ABC. Suckers.
There you go.
That's on Kevin Bean Super Christmas, $6.99. All the proceeds go to charity, and you can pick it up at all Southern California Best Buys.
Best Buy?
KROQJZ is coming up this morning. Movie beat, because it's...
You ready?
Buttermilk Turkey Hotline, we're calling... Petros?
I'm going to play the farmer.
Come on, come on, come on.
Heather Mills? No, we don't have time for that right now. No time for that right now.
Oh, we're not doing it here?
No, no, no.
We got Butterball Turkey Hotline here.
We have the showbiz here.
Oh,
man. Yeah. Put
we'll
the turkey away.
Oh, we'll get to it. Don't worry.
Kevin's trying to kill it, man.
All right. Indians then?
Everyone killed it.
I've been trying to kill it for a long time, Bean.
Let's call Indian Thank Him.
Yeah.
Wednesday morning, I love it. I'm in.
Come on, seriously.
Here's Ralph with the showbiz.
No, call India. I want to call India real quick.
You want me to dial him up right now and call him and say thank you?
Yeah, exactly.
But that was from the Alanis Morissette song from 10 years ago, Ralph.
I know, but still. I love that gag.
All right.
They fall for every time.
Nice setup, guys.
Then Ralph's got the showbiz beat. But first...
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yay! They fall for it every time.
They do.
Suckers.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Yesterday, I want to thank all the folks who came out to the CD signing down there at the Best Buy.
Very cool.
Best Buy!
In Signal Hill, and it was nice to meet them. And I met a lot of my fellow comic book geeks down there.
You did. I'll say.
They were, they seemed sort of like they're king, you know? They come up and we talk comics and they give me little presents. I got some cool, I got a Green Lantern and Batman pin from one dude.
You're the geek king.
I'm the geek king.
Yeah.
So I wanted to bring this up and mention a very cool event that's just been announced that's, it really is going to be quite the evening. Over at UCLA, they're doing an evening called Marvel Then and Now about the Marvel comic books factory over there, the publishing company and the history and the future of Marvel Comics. And it is with Stan Lee, who appears on our Christmas CD this year.
Hi!
And no, Stan's an elderly Jewish gentleman. He's not needed at all.
I just thought I met Paul Lee yesterday, and he was so I thought maybe Stanley was too.
And Joe Quesada, who is the new acting editor in chief over there, hosted by Kevin Smith.
Oh, no kidding!
Yeah, it's going to be sort of like inside the actor's studio, that kind of thing, talking about the history of Marvel Comics. So, if you're a Marvel comic book fan, this is something you're going to want to attend. It is December the 2nd. At UCLA is where they're doing it. And right there in Westwood, of course, is where Kevin also has his own comic book store. So you can check that out. If you'd like more information or you want to buy tickets, you can go to Ticketmaster.com for all the details. It's only $18 to get in. That's for UCLA students, for $20 for non-students. But all the proceeds go to the Hero Initiative, which is a really cool organization. There's a group of comic book artists and writers who have put together a charity organization for these old dudes who created these comic book characters. And back in the day, like when you created Spider-Man, you created Batman or Superman, all the rights for those
characters went right to the company.
They're making
it for
a tiny salary,
right?
And they get all of the
I think
profits.
They sold the rights to Superman for like $500 or something.
Wow.
Back in the 30s. And so a lot of these guys end up indigent and they're broke and they're living on Social Security and stuff. So this group helps them out, helps them give them a little money and take care of their medical expenses and that kind of stuff. So if you're a comic book fan, it might be an event you want to check out. Let's take a look. David Letterman fared better than Michael Richards did when he appeared on his show to apologize for what happened on Friday night at the Laugh Factory. It's the, one of the rare times where Dave had a big ratings win over Jay Leno.
That's so bad, by the way. I can't get my head around that.
How can more people watch Jay Leno
I
prefer
don't know.
Them to Dave?
That's a different world for
and
me.
And Dave's been hitting a stride lately. Ever since he had his kid, I think he's got a new lease on life. The past 2 years, he's just been pleasant and energetic and funny and creative and coming up with new stuff. The show's better than ever, so I can't
imagine.
You know,
they used to say for years that Leno had the advantage because the NBC primetime lineup was so much stronger, just fed more people into late night.
Oh,
CBS has been dominating for years now. You'd think that the opposite effect would help Dave, but most nights it doesn't.
Anyway, the promise of seeing Michael Richards embarrass himself gave The Late Show a 5.2 rating and a 13 share over The Tonight Show, which only had a 4.4 rating. So, you know. Sometimes racist comics are good.
How'd that go?
Yeah, not so well for him. Britney Spears and Kevin Federline are putting aside their differences to come together one last time and announce to the world, that there is no sex tape.
Oh, yeah. Ralph, why do you want to send us into the holidays with bad news?
They're announcing that that's true or it is true?
Nope. According to all the sources, it's true. But they're also coming together to release a statement that says there is no sex tape in existence, and anyone who claims that there was lying.
I don't believe them.
They
videotaped every minute of their lives when they first got together. They have to have videotaped that.
She offered him some money to keep his mouth shut.
There's a chance that she was smart enough to get a hold of it and destroy it before everything fell apart.
She's not smart enough to do anything.
Nope. Or her people,
because
they
people.
Gave her a good contract with
they
her
They had to
wedding.
Give her a brochure on breathing. Who knows how to do that? She has to bone up every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
So to speak.
No, sir. Yeah. You want another Hollywood list?
Yeah.
Last hour, I did the top 10 richest fictional characters from Forbes magazine. By the way, Forbes magazine published it, too. And this isn't some rinky-dink operation.
It's still
real, it's a real list.
If anybody from the Monopoly game
Mr.
is on
Monopoly.
That, if he's on that list, then it's bogus.
Uncle Moneybags.
I don't care who put it
from
out.
Mr. Monopoly. Six richest fictional character in the world.
That's just dumb.
Is it any wonder the rest of the world hates us?
This is the top 10 tomboys in Hollywood.
Oh. Top chicks, 10 tomboys.
Chicks who are a little mannish. They're a little masculine, a little tomboyish.
Okay.
Okay. Right? You got to go with people like Jodie Foster and... Right?
Well, no? I don't think that. I think the lesbian list is a whole other list. This is a tomboy.
Okay.
This is top 10, starting with 10. Sandra Bullock is sort of a tomboy.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that. Number 9, Gwen Stefani. Kind of a tomboy.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
Number 8, Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, yeah
she's a
totally.
Real, she's a real sporty girl. She likes to surf and hang around with the dudes. And...
Did you see the American Music Awards last night with Gwen Stefani?
I did not.
Wow.
Look good? Looking good?
Yeah, she looks great, but that song.
You can't take the Lonely Goat Herder song?
I might have to take my life if I hear it
the
one more time.
The Lonely Goat Herder song?
Yes, wait till we play it for you.
Sound of Music?
Yes.
But it's not really that song.
But it is that song.
But it's not. It sounds like that song, but it's not that song.
It's not even just like a sample. It's like 90% that song.
And she yodels a lot.
Dave, bring a
copy of that for us real fast.
Yeah,
kick it back off your listing. We'll have time to put some of that on.
That's amazing.
I thought Bananas, B-N-A-N-N-A-S, Bananas was a little lame.
Good to hear this.
Yeah, the new album, the new Gwen album, which isn't out yet, is for people who thought Bananas wasn't annoying enough. That's what this new album is
about.
And I love her. I think she's a great singer, a great front person, but wow.
Hmm.
Lonely goat herd.
Right, Eva Longoria, number 7 on the list.
Really?
What?
That doesn't strike me as...
Really?
Tomboyish?
Apparently, they say she's a real dude.
Okay.
Real girl dude. Queen Latifah.
I can see her playing softball.
Yeah, I can see her softballing.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah. Evangeline Lilly.
Yeah, I was going to
She's pretty mannish.
Her. She loves to go surfing. And,
She's a dude. Carrie Underwood. Who knows enough about Carrie Underwood to know what she likes to do? What kind of girl she is?
Who is that, American
she's
Idol?
American Idol, yeah.
Big star, Ralph.
Oh, stop it.
She is. She
stop
sold 3
saying
million
that.
Copies of her album, for God's sake.
But it's the country people, right?
But still 3
yeah,
million
they don't
copies.
Count.
A lot of people know
they
who
don't
she
count.
Is.
They don't count.
They don't count at all?
Nope.
All right.
Jessica Biel, apparently very likes to do tomboy stuff.
Excellent.
Jennifer Garner.
Sure. Alias.
Yeah. And Pink.
Yeah.
Who is one chromosome away from being a dude.
That's true. Where's Michelle Rodriguez?
Where is Michelle Rodriguez? Yeah. You know where she is? She's making out with Christina Loken right now. That's what she's doing. And again, I say there's lesbians, and then I think you have your tomboys, which are girls, heterosexual girls who like to do guy things, right. Who like to do manny things.
First name that came to mind when you brought up the subject to the list that I don't think I heard you say was Hilary Swank. Did you say her?
I did not say her, but she would have been an excellent addition to the list, being your absolute.
Yeah, thinking about her boxing and everything else?
Absolutely right. Except the fact she passed away, remember?
No, that was just
she
a
choked.
Just
she was trying to choke on her own tongue, and then her trainer smothered her with a pillow.
Just killed her, dude. It was awful.
That was a shame.
That was just
I was sorry to see her.
Dude. That's not real life.
She's dead.
Not really.
So dead.
Not really.
Pamela Anderson tells Blender Magazine what she likes to do at the end of a wild night of partying when she's really good and loaded.
Yes?
I usually end up naked at Dave LaChapelle's studio taking crazy pictures.
Okay.
That's usually a night for me, 4 or 5 in the morning, lying across a car nude in David's studio.
Is Dude. He a famous photographer?
Yes, he's a famous fashion photographer, yeah. Where are those photos, by
Is he
the
gay?
Way? I believe so, yes.
No, what a waste.
Where are the photos?
Where are the photos?
That's what I want to know. And this one's just for Lisa. I want to give her a nice holiday. Give her a little send-off. When she's having turkey tomorrow, she can think of something and be happy.
Okay.
While she's sucking on a drumstick. It's official. In Touch magazine reports that all four stars of Sex in the City have agreed to appear in the Sex in the City major motion picture.
Oh, my God. There is a God. That
the movie
is such
on.
Good news.
Kim Cattrall, Cynthia Nixon, Kristen Davis, and Sarah Jessica Parker have all agreed to reunite for the big screen. Word is that it'll go into production sometime next year.
Given up hope. I didn't think there was any way to get those four girls back together.
I know you were despondent, but there you go.
That's awesome.
There you go. A little gift for
They're
you.
They're my girls, Mike.
They're old hags.
They're my girls.
They're not old hags.
Hags.
Ralph, you want to hear a little of that?
Lucky to have
Kristen
one of
Davis,
them.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yum.
You want to hear a little Gwen Stefani?
More than anything. You
know. Yeah. This is the key that makes us wind up when the beat comes on. The girls all line up and the boys all look, but no, they can't touch. But the girls want to know why boys like us so much. They like the way we dance. They like the way we work.
Well, that clip is a little thin on the yodeling, but
yeah. So we bust my shirt. They like
the way my pants. They compliment. Yeah.
You're kidding, right?
No, no, that, and by the way.
That was kind of catchy, that part.
That part was the catchiest part. Thank you to Omar for sending in the catchiest part of the song.
But I like that part.
The lyrics sound horrible.
It begins with yodelay, 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 hee hoo.
Hmm.
And
I was just looking. There's a lot of that in it.
I was just looking at the TV last night going, what? Why?
Wow.
What are you doing?
Speaking of TV, real quickly, I know we're running a little late, but. We hadn't had a chance to talk about it yesterday because we're so busy with the CD and everything. Did you see Heroes on Monday night?
No, I did not.
Not yet.
I haven't seen it yet. Save the cheerleader, save the world?
God bless Heroes.
Yeah?
Heroes is doing everything right this season that Lost is doing wrong this season. Everything they build up, everything they drop at the beginning of the season is starting to pay off and have real ramifications at the end. When stuff comes around, you're like, oh, yes, of course. It's just so gratifying to watch a TV show that gives you those moments.
Wait a minute. They ask a question and then they answer
yes,
it?
Yes, imagine that.
That's odd.
They learned. They learned from Lost.
Yeah, it's good stuff this year. Really good stuff. Save the cheerleader, save the world, man.
That's a great show.
Good times. And also TV last night. I didn't see her. I knew you were talking to the American Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see photos on the red carpet of my girl, Catherine McPhee?
No.
Wow.
No? How'd she look?
Wow.
So good?
Wow.
So is she still with Grandpa?
Stop it!
No, she's still dating Grandpa.
He's a very nice guy.
Yes,
I met the gentleman, and he's a fine, fine fellow, and I give them my full love and support.
For a retiree.
He's not a retiree.
All right, back to you.
He's a couple years away from retiring. Today's celebrity birthdays. Little Steve from the E Street Band and The Sopranos. Steve Van Zandt. Is that his name, Van Zandt?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's 56 years old today. Tone! Tone! Tone.
That is his line.
Tone.
Is there anyone in the world who knows what his hairline actually looks like?
Nope. He's either got a toupee or a bandana.
Yep, and a toupee on the show. Yeah. So who knows what he's got left up there?
Jamie Lee Curtis from, of course, the legendary Halloween films and many, many other motion pictures. She's 48 years old today. Why did I go to Halloween? She's done a lot of stuff since Halloween. Why did I jump to that?
Trading Places.
She's well known for that.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah. She's married to Christopher Guest, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long-standing Hollywood couple those two have been together. Very odd coupling.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense.
She's very bubbly and personable and extroverted, and he's very quiet and sort of shy. Interesting.
Opposites attract, Ralph.
No.
No.
Not from my experience.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson. One of our favorites.
And he's not ringing that bell with his hand.
No, he's not.
No, not
she's only 22 years old.
Today. I know.
Yeah, she's got a lot going on for 22.
Yes, she does.
You know what I was doing? I was 22?
What?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
No, that was me.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
What the hell are you doing that at 22? You should have outgrown it by then.
Oh, no, I still haven't outgrown it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of the football, ladies and gentlemen, let's say good morning to Coach John Madden. Hey, John.
Hey,
how's it going?
Yeah, that's from What's Happening. I used to watch that show. Hey.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Mr. Madden. It's funny, for years and years and years, we always thought of you because of the football games you do around the holidays. But now more and more people are saying, hey, how about a turducken for Thanksgiving? And it's all thanks to you and the commercials that you do and the way that you talk about it on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the spokesperson for fowl.
Right. What give for people who haven't heard about the turducken, tell them how you came to find it and what it is.
Well, you know, it started in Louisiana, I believe. I mean, in down south there, and people like to stuff things into other things in the south. And
right.
I don't know what that's all about, but I mean, you know, and what they did is they realized, hey, we could stuff a chicken into a duck into a turkey, and that's turducken.
So you put a chicken inside a duck, and then you put the duck in, and the chicken inside the turkey.
Yeah, because you couldn't just put one. You have to put all of them in. Once you put one inside the other, they both have to go into the next one.
Okay.
So the chicken is the smallest, the duck is the middle one, and then the turkey is the biggest. Now, if you have a duck that's too small, you might have problems putting the chicken into the duck. And I mean, I have had that problem before.
Right.
The chicken into the
We've
duck.
Heard that about you.
It all depends, you know, on what you got.
Sure. Now, the turducken, according to legend, was invented in November of 1985 by Herbert's Specialty Meat in Maurice, Louisiana. But my question to you is, do you just order one, have it sent to you through the mail, John, or are you actually in the kitchen on Thanksgiving morning putting the turducken together?
Oh, I am in the kitchen, and I make one. I never eat the one that I make because I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. who does eat that, John?
Just people who work for me.
Okay.
Some people, you know, people I test it on.
Okay.
Kind of a thing. I mean, every year it's a little bit of an experiment. You know,
sure.
Hey, try some of this. You going to eat it? No. Why would I eat it? I'm John Madden. You eat it because you work for me.
Now, it does seem like the turduckens are getting more and more popular every year, being more well-known. But have you experimented around at all with the recipe? Are you putting other things in the bird, too?
Oh, yeah, all kinds of things. We tried stuffing it into a cow once. And the cow wasn't happy about it.
The cow was alive?
Wait a minute.
The live cow?
Yeah, I forgot that part.
Yeah.
You don't always think, hey, you got, I mean, I'm just thinking, what would be great? Hamburger. And I thought, what does hamburger come from? And then, because you can't stuff it into hamburger, it'd just be a mess.
Right.
So we tried to stuff it into a cow.
Right.
Nobody told me that the cow wasn't, you know. I mean, a live cow doesn't look that much different from a dead cow. I mean, you might not realize.
Well, it is moving, though, John.
Yeah, I mean, move a little bit, but what are you going to do?
So that didn't work.
Everybody makes mistakes now and then.
Sure.
I mean, we've seen that in the news recently.
Now, I wanted to ask you, John, because you famously are really, really fat. And is this a healthy item? Is this something you would recommend to people eating? Because it seems like it would be about a million calories to eat a turducken.
No. It's real good for you. I mean, chicken's good for you. Duck is good for you. Turkey's good for you. I'd put it in a quesadilla and call it a turducken deer. I mean, it sounds like you're swearing at somebody.
It kind of does.
I called you a turducken deer.
Coach, what game are you going to be doing this weekend? When can we look for you on the TV?
Well, Sunday night. I'm always at the Colts game, and that's, the Colts and the Philadelphia Eagles. And, years ago, and I wouldn't have started this.
What are you talking about now?
No, I don't even know.
Okay.
I thought I did. That's the thing. That's the great thing about being a turkey. You can never be misunderstood because all you say is gobble, gobble.
Right.
Sure. I mean, I should start just doing that. Gobble, 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 gobble. Hey, boom, gobble. He gobbled. Gobble.
All right, I'm sorry we asked, John. Good luck this weekend.
Okay.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
What?
Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Okay, and we'll see you on Sunday night.
Oh, I I will be full.
Yes, you will. Thank you, John. Kevin, I didn't see it last night, but apparently Heather Mills McCartney was on The Extra Show. This is, I guess, her big sit-down interview since the divorce. It's the first one she's done, I think, right?
Yep. And my God, is she a saint. Wow, is she Mother Teresa?
Really? I didn't realize.
Until I heard her talk, I didn't realize that either.
Best woman ever, huh?
Let's say good morning to Paul McCartney. Good morning, Paul.
Actually, Mother Teresa had two legs.
That's true. That is true. So last night, Extra was giving her oral sex, basically. I mean, they were basically just talking about her like she was the best woman that has ever walked the planet.
Well, why are they taking her side when we don't know what really happened?
Because
she has a very different story than what Paul has to say.
Because they wanted an interview, Bean.
Right.
That's why.
And Paul, you wouldn't talk to him, right?
No, I wouldn't.
All right. Well,
okay,
let me play Let me play a couple of the clips, Paul, and then maybe you can just tell us exactly what she's talking about.
It's the Heather Mills you've never met.
I'm a good mother. I'm a good person. I fell in love for the right reasons. I loved unconditionally. And it just didn't work out.
Okay. So she's a good person. She loves unconditionally. And she does nothing wrong. Paul?
That's a Heather Mills I've never met either.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. That's what I was wondering.
That's the definition of unconditional love. It doesn't not work out.
First of all,
it's unconditional.
Unconditional love. You're hard pressed to find somebody who will claim that they actually have that.
That's a child. You love a child unconditionally. That's it.
Well, she did love unconditionally.
Yeah.
I couldn't put any conditions on our relationship whatsoever. She loved that.
All right, so then she's talking about the time in her life when everything was falling apart, and she gives us, I think, an insight into what she would have rather have happen.
That time in your life, that courtship, you said was worse than when you lost your leg.
Oh, yeah. I would rather someone come up and chop all my limbs off than go through what I went through.
Paul? Hey. I'll give her all she wants if I can do that. I'll write her a big fat check if I can take her arms.
She had such a bad time. She would rather have someone cut off all of her limbs.
Me too.
Yeah, she's not.
Why stop there at all?
So then she's. So now she starts talking about how she's being treated so unfairly, and she wants to know what her crimes are.
When you're vilified for doing nothing but fall in love with an icon, nothing. What have I done? What is my crime? Nothing. I'd rather someone chop all my limbs off.
Again with the limbs.
Deal.
Yeah. Into that.
She's fixated on her limbs coming off.
She wants them off.
All right then.
She's tired of her limbs.
I'll send Ringo but right over.
Does she really? I'm sorry, Ringo does that?
Oh yeah, Ringo needs to work.
Does anything Paul tells him to do.
Does she really think that she's done nothing? Does she really believe in her heart that there's no reason people love her? That she just fell in love?
Well, except for the lying part.
Except for that part.
And I guess for abandoning a child.
And that part, yeah.
And making my life living hell.
And saying that you abused your first wife. And
saying I made a crawl to the toilet.
Right, she did say that, yeah.
And saying things about my dead wife.
But the beautiful thing about her is that she lives in England.
Right.
And the Beatles are not big in England. So I can understand why she gets this kind of reaction on the streets.
When all this happened, I just thought everybody would blame me. So I sort of had my head down. And people come and go, how are you? I don't get any kind of, in the streets. From people. Nothing. I get nothing but support.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Nothing but support.
Doubt that.
Paul?
Nothing but support.
That's what she says. Nothing but support from people on the street. She's never once gotten a bad look from someone.
I got taught down from people after that freedom song I wrote.
You should have.
I can't imagine what she's getting.
You should have. That song blew, Paul. And then they start telling a very funny story when she went skiing.
I'm sitting on the chairlift and I'm going up there and I think, oh, this is just so amazing. I learn to ski again. And I think my left leg feels really light. And then I go, oh my God. And my leg's just flying down the mountain. And the snowboarder's, hey, dude, what's that? And it's coming down after him.
Nice.
Oh,
Paul, you're going to have to really, really miss those stories around the dinner table every night now that you two aren't together, huh?
It was fun to play with the leg.
You're not the one who loosened the leg on that skiing trip, are you?
Sometimes you go through a revolving door or get stuck. She'd hop off the other side and the leg would still be inside. Such old lady's fate.
Good time.
So she loves unconditionally. She gets nothing but support on the streets.
And she wants all her limbs chopped off.
She wants all her limbs chopped off.
I can take care of that for her.
And then they ask the final question for the interview to wrap everything up for the night.
Do you think you would ever marry again?
To
Tomorrow, you'll hear Heather's answer.
Yes, they're not done. It's tomorrow.
Oh, of course.
She wants to marry Michael Richards.
Is that right?
She hates black people, too.
So you're telling me there are three NFL games on Thursday this week?
Come on.
Tomorrow?
Really?
NFL, unbelievable. Of course, it's always the Cowboys, but I guess there's three different games going on and so much college sports and so much going on. Not that our regular K-Rock Kevin Bean sports guy can't cover, but we thought, how about a little help this morning from our pal, the P, Petros Papadakis, back on the Kevin Bean show. Good morning, P.
Kevin Bean, what up? How you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
What's up? Good morning.
You sound like you should be on suicide watch. P, what's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
You just sound...
He's still in bed.
Sound
He's
tired.
Still in bed.
No, I'm up. I'm ready to go.
All right. Hey,
I'm
Petros.
Fire away, dude. I'm ready. What do you guys want?
When are you going to be back on the radio, dude? What's the deal? You've been off for like a month now.
Well, I can't take some time off. I can't concentrate on my television obligations. Both of you and all of you know me as a good-looking man, even with the half mustache. Can I enjoy a little TV for a few months and then worry about the radio in January?
Just people admiring the way you look on TV?
Sure. I just figured you couldn't...
You're watching yourself on TV because it is by far probably the most awful thing in the world.
Well, that's a clear given for us as we are really the worst in the world on TV.
You guys are not as ugly. I mean, Kevin is a relatively... I mean, Bean, yeah, you're funny looking. You're like 40 feet tall. At least she's a lovely lady.
Yes, she is.
She is. But Kevin is actually not a bad-looking guy.
Are you asking me out, or?
Well, you know I'm Greek, and we did not invent sodomy, but you were the first to write it down.
That's right. You refined it, certainly. All right, where do we want to start with the P? Because we do have a lot of stuff we want to cover. We might as well start with your Los Angeles Clippers, who really couldn't have looked any better. That's right, they lost to the Lakers last night. How'd you feel about that, Petros?
That's okay, man. It's real early in the season. I'm not tripping about it. I think they lost the first game to the Lakers last year. I mean, big deal.
I was so happy to see that because I had some credits with Dave, the King of Mexico. Have you heard his new song, P?
Yeah, and it sucks, and I listened to you guys yesterday. I mean, I love Dave. Actually, you know what? It doesn't suck. But it sucks more than my song.
Mm. Oh, how dare you.
I didn't want anything yesterday. I was listening on my way in, and I heard Dave's song, and I said, okay, now Kevin and Bean are going to mention my song and talk about how my Clipper song was cool, too. And maybe throw out a mention for the P.
No.
And I got nothing.
All right, let's have a song off, shall we? Here's a little bit of Dave's.
The Clipper Nation's back. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah. The Lakers suck, and we know that. Yeah. We're playoff bound, and that's a fact. Yeah.
All right, that's all I can take.
Yeah.
So that's Dave, and here's P.
I had my trash compactor when I hear that.
Here's P.
I'm in love with the Clippers. I'm in red block and Ross Holden. The microphone like a poem. I'm in love with the Clippers. Black Slang and Cat Slash and Chris Slammon. Came in hand, look like Marilyn. I'm in love with the Clippers.
Cause every man's team got a playoff berth. Pump the Lakers too, that's what Sam Casella's work.
All right, that's all I can think of.
You know, we need to figure out a way to...
That is awesome.
We need to put them both up on KRock.com. Do we have the technology that we can put them both up and
let
have
vote?
People vote on which one they like the best?
Sure, sure.
Because it seems like everybody, all the other websites can do that.
Hello?
You guys are probably going to get me sued because I used to do that for my old radio station.
Oh, excellent. Let's get you sued.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm in.
P, everyone's talking about the BCS and how it's all going to play out. What do we have for most teams have what, like one game left, maybe two in college football?
Well, USC's got two left, and they are the two biggest games of the year for Trojan fans every year. It's kind of a weird deal because a lot of people think Michigan and Ohio State, especially in the red states, and I know how much you guys appreciate Middle America.
Sure.
A lot of people in the red states and, you know, these people in Michigan and Ohio and, you know, even Illinois, Big Ten people, they think there should be a rematch between Michigan and Ohio State because that was such a great game. And Michigan's just going to end up to be a one-loss team. Ohio State's obviously going to be in the championship.
Right.
But mathematically, if you listen to the experts, they tell you if USC beats Notre Dame in the Coliseum on Saturday and then squeaks by UCLA in the Rose Bowl, they will be in the national title game. And that means Pete Carroll will have been in the national title game four of the last 4 years.
Now, the BCS has some kind of BS elaborate math problem that how they figure out who's going to be in it. Is it just up for grabs? I mean, really, does anyone know who's going to be there? If USC wins both games, are they assured?
Not completely, and that's because there's voters involved. and it's called like the Harris poll, and that is like some percentage. I'm supposed to know a lot more about this. Thanks for exposing me.
Yeah, because you're hosting a show on it, aren't you?
Well, I just go out there to make jokes and try to like
bring
the energy up. I don't care about the damn math of the BCS. So many layered like a KFC famous bowl. And that's
so USC Notre Dame is Saturday at 5. And then a week from Saturday is the UCLA-USC game, right?
Right.
Okay.
And the Rose.
Now, what are you going to be doing this weekend, Pete?
And let's not forget that Pete Carroll is 9-1 in his career against UCLA and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I saw some coaches who came out when the talk was of that rematch between Ohio State. Ohio State's already done for the year, right?
They're both done.
They got no more games. Okay, so they ended the season undefeated.
That's why people think voters, and there have been really, really volatile voters this year. That's why people think voters... If USC beats Notre Dame and then UCLA, that's why they think the vote will swing toward USC. Plus, I think mathematically with the strength of schedule, because USC played Arkansas and Nebraska, both teams that ended up to be pretty good, that USC, you know, will be there. The voters and the computers and, you know,
Sure.
Hal from 2001, they're all going to agree.
Right, sure. Second Mike, you have something?
I was just curious, after our tragic loss last week to Cincinnati, what's up with my Rutgers Scarlet Knights? What's it look like, the bowl situation for them, P?
Who in God's name asked that question?
Stupid Psycho Mike. I thought he had something important to say.
He went to Rutgers, P. That's why he's following it pretty closely.
I mean, I don't know how football-y you guys want me to get. I like Gianno. I think he's a great coach. I think if you can keep him, you know, you'll be great for a few years. I mean, he's got a lot of skill. But he might go to Miami. He might go to Florida State because he's done just a great job. He had those guys playing outside of their bodies for months and months and months. So I thought they did a great job this year.
So first thing he needs to do is leave Rutgers. That's what you're saying.
What's the best placement for Rutgers in the bowl situation, though? I mean, they're limited as to what they can get to, right?
They won't make a BCS bowl now because they were going to have to be undefeated out of the Big East. I mean, their schedule is pretty weak, and it's nobody's fault. I mean, it's scheduled 6 years ago. Nobody knew that Rutgers was going to be good, but they played Ohio University.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a bad school. And their coach got arrested for being drunk and, like, slumped over a steering wheel on the side of the road.
Excellent. That's good news.
And Buffalo University, which was, like, I think that was the university from that movie Road Trip.
Yeah.
Now, that was Ithaca.
One last college question, then we'll move on to the pros real quickly, and that is that the BCS Championship Bowl is the Fiesta Bowl this year in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, there's the Fiesta Bowl, but then there's like a game after the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona.
Oh.
Yeah, so there's two. There's an extra BCS game this year.
There is?
Wait, so the Fiesta Bowl is not the championship game? That's the one in Glendale?
No, I think it is the Fiesta Bowl. I think they're both the Fiesta Bowl.
What?
Like every year rotating, one of the BCS bowls is going to get like an extra game. Kind of like when you have sex with somebody right after you did it.
Wait a minute. So there's going to be a Fiesta Bowl, which is going to feature two other teams. And then there's going to be another Fiesta Bowl that is the championship.
Right.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Hey, man. Talk to your university
What is wrong with them?
God,
it's impossible to screw it up more than they have.
They're just looking for ways to make it more confusing than it already
there
is.
There will never be a playoff, not while there's a lot of people that are really old and in control alive.
All right,
college football.
Last question is for the NFL. Tomorrow, Thursday, Miami at Detroit, Tampa Bay at Dallas, Denver at Kansas City. Three straight games.
Well, I'm trying to help out your pool or something.
Yes, please.
Well, I look like money, dude. I don't pick games.
I'm just saying, who do you think's going to win? That's all. You don't have to pick a game.
Can I tell you guys something? Can I be honest?
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter, like college football, pro football, basketball, Lakers, Clippers, you know, the LA Galaxy. None of it really matters, first of all. But it's a bunch of people running around in plastic outfits for the most part. and then just because I say somebody's going to win or lose, I mean, absolutely no bearing on what really will happen.
So what you're saying is you're too much of a pussy to make some picks.
Did you just call me a pussy?
I'm just saying, is that the case? I'm asking.
Can you say that?
You just did.
I almost got fired for saying, all right. Anyway, Detroit will lose because Detroit sucks.
Detroit's bad. Okay,
but
so Miami will win.
A run game going a little bit.
Can Tampa Bay please beat Dallas?
Nope.
No, Dallas is playing much better than quarterback Tony Romo's mobile, and he's doing great things for them.
And Denver's going to beat KC.
Ooh.
No?
Well, you know, Denver's good, but their offense kind of sputters from time to time, and KC can put up big points. But Tony Gonzalez is hurt. You got to take the Broncos.
See, that's what I'm saying. And this is the difference between you and I. When I pick Denver, they win. Okay? So just so we can get that out of the way. All right, Pete, we're going to put up your song against Dave, the King of Mexico song, and we're going to have a vote off.
Got to do that.
I think it's only fair.
All right.
Okay,
you know,
well, definitely.
That, you know, I did not write my song alone. I don't know if Dave was in
the room. By the way, Dave
kind of sounded like he was.
Dave refused help.
Yeah, I did not. Yeah, he got some help.
That's how confident he is.
look for P as the Fox Sports Net's lead Pac-10 analyst.
No, first Oregon State. That's Friday, and then Arizona State. Back-to-back games this week.
On Saturday.
That
okay.
is correct. So you got a lot of pee on your TV this weekend. All right, Petras, get a job, man, so we can hear you on the radio again. Thanks for coming
God
on, Kellick. Have a great Thanksgiving.
And Lisa and Psycho Mike go Scarlet Knights, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah. Have a great Thanksgiving, Pete.
Bye, Pete.
And we got. I wish we had time. We don't have time right now. Thank you, Ralph.
Oh, you're a bad man.
We got Jay-Z coming up. We got a movie beat coming up.
Also, we got an update from the K-Rock listing that we spoke with a couple of days ago. All right, Ralph, put the turkey back in your pants. We'll get an update from the K-Rock lister who asked for our help in finding his missing brother. And I'm happy to say, good news. So we'll find out what that's all about coming up here on K-Rock.
Way
right
to
now,
kill
Ralph,
the suspense, man. Nice. Nice work. No point tuning in now, people. You just heard what the story is. Boom.
People will enjoy the story. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. It's KRQ FM, passing in Los Angeles. What's going on, Ralph?
Remember when we were watching The Surreal Life and Tawny Kitaen was on?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
And we're
yes.
saying, what's wrong with her?
Yeah,
what
crazy.
Is she on drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Oh, really?
Wait, she came in and said it was all the editing.
Oh, that's yep. right. Well, apparently prosecutors have charged actress/model/... Oh, I won't say it. She's got enough
beating
troubles.
Up boyfriend with shoe?
Beating up husband with shoe.
Yeah,
husband. She was married to former big league pitcher Chuck Finley, and she beat him with a stiletto heel.
While driving.
Yeah, I remember
well,
that.
He was driving, right?
But her latest problem is Tuesday she was charged with possessing 15 grams of cocaine that was found in her San Juan Capistrano home.
Damn.
15 grams.
15 grams.
Jeez.
That's like an afternoon's worth, right?
Yeah. Mike, you used to dabble in the drug culture a little bit. 15 grams, give us a rough idea of how much 15 grams is.
15 grams is... like about a cup.
About a cup of cocaine.
God.
Yeah. Nice.
So, you know, like imagine like a cup of baking soda or flour or something in your kitchen. That's how much coke she had in her home in San Juan Capistrano.
How did they find it in her home?
Police responded to a call, they claim, on a Friday and found the cocaine in her apartment.
Hmm.
I don't know who called. Can't imagine she did, unless it was one of those stupid Boy George moments where she was calling about something
yeah.
else.
I'm being
robbed. Let the cops in, and hey, what's that cup of cocaine doing on your desk?
Maybe Chuck Finley called.
Oh, that would be good.
Sir, your thoughts on that much cocaine?
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you.
He could face 3 years in prison if convicted, prosecutors say. 3 years in prison for crazy Tawny Kitaen.
Wow.
She'd run that joint.
Do you remember that this real life season I'm talking about with Tawny
yeah.
on there?
Yeah.
Do you remember the one episode where she was like, oh, I get allergies, and she was sniffing and her head was
yes.
all stuffed up?
That's right.
Yes.
And she was walking around, oh, I have such a headache. Oh, I've got a migraine headache.
Yep.
Wow, yeah, she was spiking because she was doing yayo. She was doing freaking rails in the bathroom. That's why her nose was running and her head was splitting.
Wow.
Allegedly.
She sure looked good when she came in on our show, though, Ralph.
I'm not saying she doesn't look good.
Good-looking woman.
Just saying.
Yeah, I understand.
It was all the editing, guys.
Maybe she was a friend. Maybe she was just holding it for a friend.
A lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, with 15 grams, you could possibly get... they could file charges against her saying that there was intent to distribute.
Right.
That's a major amount. That's not personal use blow, you know? Unless you're...
Depends on how much you're...
Psycho Mike back in the glory days at Rutgers, but, you know...
You're inhaling.
Other than that...
What?
Forbes magazine has released...
No.
No, you're not going to do that story again,
it's
Ralph.
List of the richest fictional characters for the year.
We don't have time for this, Ralph. I'm sorry.
Santa Claus usually tops off the list at number one because they assume he has infinite money because he's able to buy toys for all the children of the world. But here's why they dropped him off the list this year, and I didn't know this. A listener filled me in. A listener who was fascinated by the list, by the way, did a little research.
Hey, can I interrupt for just 1 second? We had the misfortune of hearing this story earlier today. If you have not yet heard it, do yourself a favor, flip over to Big Boy for about 15 minutes and then come back.
Santa Claus was dropped from the list because of the deluge of letters Forbes magazine received last year from children who claimed that Santa Claus was not fictional and he should not be on the fictional characters list. Isn't that cute? The kids think Santa Claus is real.
Okay. All right.
So here's your list of top 10 richest fictional characters.
Without Santa.
Without Santa.
All right.
Thurston Howell III from Gilligan's Island.
Lovey, I'm only 10. More of a treasure protector.
Prince
Abakakiki of Nigeria.
What's his name?
Prince Abakakiki.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Abakailiki.
I think I got an email from that guy.
The internet spam guy. The way the emails you get from the prince saying, you know, he has a lot of money. He just needs your help. Could you deposit some of his money in your bank account and then give him your account number?
I did open an account and put some money in there. I haven't heard from him.
Really?
But
well, he's the 9th richest fictional character in the world. Tony Stark, Iron Man from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
He's number 8. Bruce Wayne.
What's the point of this story?
My personal hero and savior, Batman. Billionaire Bruce Wayne, only 7th. Richest fictional character.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6th, Mr. Monopoly.
Come on, Ralph. You can't present a list that has Mr. Monopoly on it.
You know him, Uncle Moneybags, the guy from the Monopoly game. He's the 6th richest fictional character. Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies. That oil money, still serving Jed well there in the Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Shut up. Richie Rich, the richest kid in the world.
Come on.
Is
come on, Ralph. You don't have anything else.
Scrooge McDuck.
Come on, a little less questions and a little more shut the hell up.
C. Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons.
Shut the hell up.
He's lost it.
Not
I
funny!
Wish everyone would shut up.
Come on.
And Daddy Warbucks from Little Orphan Annie.
Shut up, Coolio!
Number 1. They say because he's made so much money in munitions and defense contracts with this whole rack thing that Daddy Warbucks would beat him.
I can't believe you don't shut up.
You're dead to me.
Number 1 on the list.
Oh, my God, shut the hell up.
Not just Warburton, or Halliburton, rather, that's making money on the war. It's Daddy Warbucks.
Dumbest list.
Shut up, dude.
Dumbest list ever. Ever.
Mario from Super Mario Brothers dropped to 15.
Come on, Ralph.
That's what you're doing.
Please stop. My God.
And Willy Wonka drops to 11 this year.
So. Is it possible for you to shut the fuck up for 10 seconds?
Cruella DeVille dropped off the list totally, by the way.
This is f***ing weak.
That would surprised me.
I cannot remember a time before you started telling that story.
New lesbian couple from Star Magazine, Joan Jett and Carmen Electra.
Now we're talking.
Apparently, the two women were seen in a heavy makeout session after Carmen caught Joan's show in Hollywood. The two of them were making out afterwards. Carmen seems to be enjoying her singlehood once.
Yes, she does.
Yes,
very much.
She's out there enjoying herself. And another possible new couple, according to Star Magazine, Eva Longoria and Mario Lopez. More than just friends, they claim, to have been seen out 2 or 3 times in the past 3 weeks, but claim they aren't dating, they're just pals. Even though Eva's representatives say that she and boyfriend Tony Parker are having problems.
Right.
So I'm thinking Eva's doing a little dancing with the stars, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Sure. Couldn't have done that story instead of your bogus list.
I did them both, man. I get a little something to everybody. Apparently, Eva and Mario do a little hip dancing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. We get it. You don't have to do the thumb. You don't have to show us the thumb move. I don't need to see that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, guitarist, little Stevie Van Zandt from the E Street Band, Bruce Springsteen's backup band, also from The Sopranos. He is 56 years old today. Jamie Lee Curtis turns 48. And Scarlett Johansson, one of our favorites around here. She is 22 years old today. She's got it all.
Yes, yeah. She does.
Got it all, 22.
Yep.
You know what that means?
What?
Can only go down from here.
But not for a while.
Well, it can only go down. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I hope, yeah. In a good way.
You just threw the bell at Mike?
No, I threw
the mouse ball.
The mouse ball.
Because he's turning around and blocking. Well, I can't hit him anymore. Just shut the hell up. That's what we're saying.
You can only go down from here.
We got it. We got that.
Lara Croft from Tomb Raider, 14th in the list of richest fictional characters.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You got a great email with some great news from K-Rock listener Travis.
Yeah, we had Travis on the show on Monday, and he was telling us that his brother was missing. And we got this email yesterday. You should have seen it. After I told my story Monday morning, Omar came busting through my door with a bloodhound in one hand and a magnifying glass in the other. K-Rock's very own Sherlock Omar. He was unstoppable. He walked right into the hospitals and police stations, grabbing people by their throats, demanding of my brother's whereabouts. He sicked his dog on 2 children that were playing hopscotch, thinking that they would know something. Wait, what's that, Omar? Oh, yeah, that wasn't you. You were down at the station running the board. Ha, ha, ha. Very different tone in the email from Travis.
Yes, indeed.
The first time.
Yeah.
Travis, good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Travis.
We got a lot of listeners emailing us and asking us in the last couple of days, was your brother found?
Yes, he was. He was found, man. It was the greatest thing ever, man. Without you guys, this would not have happened.
Well, tell us the story.
It wasn't really us. Yeah. We just got out of the way and let you tell our listeners.
Exactly. For folks who weren't with us on Monday, Travis called up and basically said he's got a brother who was living in, some sort of a group home situation or something like that, right?
In a group home down in Hawthorne, yeah. And he AWOL'd. He left his Hawthorne home and said, I'm out of here. I'm going up to La Crescenta because that's where my home is.
And right. So
that's
and you had spent the whole weekend looking for him and doing everything you could, calling the hospitals, police, and everything like that. And you were just almost like a desperate last-ditch effort. Hey, I'll reach out to K-Rock and see if they can at least put a description on the air. And, mm-hmm. and what happened when we talked to you on Monday?
Yeah, the second we gave out the description, a K-Rock listener, Christy, I don't know her last name, but just Christy, and she happened to be driving to work. She looks out her window. And there he is, sitting on the bus bench.
Are you kidding me?
Third and Fairfax. Yeah, there he was. She remembered me saying that there was a gauze on the back of his head from stitches.
Right.
So she looked at his head and went, oh, my God, that's him.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah.
So did she jump out of her car and wrestle him to the ground? What happened?
You know, I wish she would have then, because it would have saved about a day and a half of more looking and stuff. But it would have been good stories, too.
But you got the good lead.
Yeah, we got the great lead, and we sent the cops out there. He was gone. So my family went out there yesterday and just pounded the pavement with flyers, hitting up every store in the neighborhood, putting up the flyers in the windows, giving them to bus drivers, to people walking around.
Right.
And about a half an hour later, we got a call from somebody that saw the flyer in a window, and they said, hey, your brother was down on Wilshire in front of an Office Depot. So we
looking
all hopped in our car.
Yeah.
And we drive to the Office Depot. He wasn't there. We call the police department. They drive there. He wasn't there. Office Depot remembers him there. He was out there for 2 hours. We were like, God, we're like right on his coattails, just chasing after him.
Right.
So we spent the next few hours driving up and down Wilshire, going in and out of stores. Some people said, yes, we saw him. An actual police officer said, yeah, I saw him at Norm's last night having some soup. He looked great. He looked fine. And then 2 hours later, we gave up. The sun was going down. We were really bummed. We're going to charge the next day to come back out. We got a phone call from the police officers, and they had him. He was up at a coffee bean just panhandling.
How about that? Now, where had he been sleeping and everything for the past those past few nights?
You know, that first night he left Hawthorne, we really think he walked all the way up to 3rd and Fairfax, and he...
Wow.
I mean, you should have seen the blisters on his feet. He could barely walk. He didn't...
Oh, man.
He didn't take his shoes off. He could barely walk. He was just... He was really run down. I mean, just, you know, not showering for 5 days and just...
Travis, we were real worried when you told us that he was on some pretty serious medication that he needed for some of his medical conditions. How was he feeling otherwise when you finally got to him?
Well, visually, he was just really run down, really tired. He barely ate. You know, he was coherent. He was there. You know, he knew who we were and stuff. But then he would just run off on some rants and stuff, and
right.
try to have to like pull him back to like, okay, Aaron, come on, we're here. But
hey,
we got him.
Tell me, man, I work with Kevin. Did he say why he walked away from the home and decided he was going to walk all the way up to La Crescenta?
Yeah. You know, ever since he was diagnosed schizophrenic, we've put him in group homes from Pasadena, Duarte, to down to Hawthorne was his most recent one. And he would just get away.
Just go.
He would always come to La Crescenta because that's his home.
Right.
So.
Sure. Well, it's great to have a story like this with a happy ending. And he's cleaned up now and on the medicine and feeling a lot better. And you guys are going to be able to spend Thanksgiving together, right?
We sure are, man. We were going to cancel it. And... but because we're going over to Catalina for the weekend.
You can cancel Thanksgiving for everyone?
No, just for his family, Kevin. Just for his family.
All right.
Travis, I'm so glad you thought to email us, because it's shocking that you thought that we would take a minute out of looking at our own asses to do something for somebody else, but I'm glad that we did, and I'm glad it was able to help.
Well, honestly, without being on the air and giving out his description, Christy, with that phone call, we wouldn't pinpoint him here there at 3rd and Fairfax.
Well, our thanks to listener Christy as well, then.
Yes.
And, you know, could I just give a plug to the LAPD? Because Officer Idan Sheklo from Rampart, Officer De La Cruz, and Aguirre from Wilshire District, they were just so much help to finding him.
Fantastic.
Good deal.
There you go. See, not all LAPD can just be seen on YouTube, folks. Just keep that in mind. All right, Travis, have a great holiday, man. Thanks for getting back to us.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays to you.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
See you.
It's Wednesday morning, but it's the Wednesday before a long weekend, so there are some movies in the theater.
Nope, don't have time yet. Unfortunately, no time.
Happy Thanksgiving tomorrow, everybody. It's a great weekend for going to see movies, and there are some new ones opening today that you're going to want to check out, and some that are called Deck the Halls. Deck the Halls opens today. This is a hilarious Christmas film. Here's the premise. You got one guy who's really straight-laced and square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's Steve. And then across the street moves in a wacky guy with a crazy personality. He's off the wall. His
right.
name's Buddy.
Does he play by his own rules?
He's got to be named something like Buddy or Louie or something because he's crazy. Or wacky. Steve's the normal guy.
Sure.
But Buddy, oh, Buddy's crazy. And see, and Buddy gets his plan. He's going to make the biggest Christmas light display ever in his house. Here, I kid you not, it's in the movie. He wants his house to be seen in outer space.
Okay.
That's his harebrained scheme.
Okay.
But Steve, the square guy, can't stand this guy who's got this big personality and doing all these crazy things. So he's going to either stop him or he decides he's going to outdo him with the Christmas lights.
So it's a rivalry.
Oh.
That's never been done
Matthew
before.
Broderick plays Steve the square dude. I guess Steve Martin wasn't available. And Danny DeVito is Buddy. Because Danny DeVito can only play guys named Buddy or Louie or something like that. That's
sure.
who he plays. And I guess John Goodman wasn't available there, so... here's a scene from Deck the Halls.
Hi, I'm just very happy that everyone likes the lights.
Yes, indeed. Obviously, you have put an awful lot of work into this.
Oh, yeah. And I'm nowhere near being finished.
Oh, are you kidding me? Jesus.
Christ the Lord is born this Christmas morning.
Look at that. The lights have obviously brought out the Christmas spirit in everyone.
Yeah.
Wow. Omar, let us know how it is.
Psycho Mike said you were laughing,
I was
Kevin.
Not laughing.
You were laughing at that clip.
No, I wasn't. I thought the movie looked good on TV. That sounded terrible.
You were laughing.
I wasn't.
You're so going to see
He's
this.
He's lying to you.
So going to see this. Anyway, that's Deck the Halls. You know, there's some crass commercialism where they say, if we make a Christmas movie, people will have to go because it's the Christmas season. And then every year on DVD, we'll sell more copies because people are desperate for Christmas movies.
I'm guessing $23 million.
I'm guessing you're right. The Fountain opens this weekend as well. This looks all honked up.
Yeah.
People are comparing this, and favorably, I might add, to 2001, A Space Odyssey. Have mm-hmm. you ever seen that film?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just got to get good and baked and just let it wash over you, because you're not going to be able to follow this. But apparently, this is three love stories that run concurrently in time. Basically, the through thread is that one of the guys, a conquistador working for Queen Isabella, finds the Fountain of Youth.
Right.
And somehow, this couple become lovers throughout the centuries.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Played by Hugh Jackman and Rachel Weisz. Here is a scene where Hugh Jackman, as the conquistador, is making a promise to his Queen Isabella.
Will you deliver Spain from bondage?
Upon my honor and my life.
Then you shall take this ring to remind you of your promise. You shall wear it when you find Eden. And when you return, I shall be your Eve. Together we will live forever.
But she doesn't, and he spends the rest of eternity trying to recapture his love for his lady.
We had the very fine actor Hugh Jackman on the show earlier this morning, and you're right, Ralph. He not only plays a conquistador, but he also plays a 26th century astronaut in this film.
Yes.
So that just tells you what kind of movie you're getting
into. Smoke up, kids. That's what I'm telling you. Deja Vu opens today as well. Tay Diggs is a cop, and every day is the same day for him, and he's got to save
That's
his
TV
fiance.
Show, I think. That's the TV show.
What?
No, this is...
what are the odds? There's a Deja Vu series and a Deja Vu movie out at the same time.
This is Denzel Washington.
Denzel finds out, as he's working for the government, that Deja Vu isn't just a weird trick of the mind. It's actually time travel, where you're getting messages from the future and from the past.
Okay.
And the government has a program where they're trying to control this.
And the last one was confusing?
Yeah,
All
exactly.
Right.
Here is Denzel talking to Paula Patton, and she is visiting him from the past and or future, and both. And he wants to know what the hell's going on.
Let me get this straight. You're trying to tell me that on the other side of this bridge is the actual path?
Yes.
Is she alive or is she dead?
All right, life, like time and space, is not merely a local phenomenon.
All right, I tell you what. I'll speak slow so those of you with PhDs in the room can understand. Here, look. Here's a monitor, right? Now it's dead. Now, is she alive or is she dead?
She's alive.
Wow, easy, Denzel.
Man, he's angry.
Okay, get in the past and have a drink.
Dude, he does hate waiting.
So, I don't know, it looks pretty interesting, and I love Denzel, so this might be worth checking out. But
I'm
going to
see this, yeah.
The movie I picked this weekend, by far, if you want to have a good time at the movies this weekend, Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny.
Yes.
Oh, man, is this a good time at the movies. First of all, you got Jack Black. You got Kyle Gass. You got the band. You got their music. And you have got it's one of those silly, stupid, funny movies in the vein of the Cheech and Chong movies in the 70s, where it's just about getting high and just having a good time, and they have to find the pick of destiny, which is the guitar pick made from Satan's tooth.
Sure.
That allows guys who possess and play with it to become rock and roll stars.
Sure. That could happen, Ralph. Don't mock that. That could happen.
Well, it's funny. They spread out the Rolling Stones from all over eras and then those floors and say, what do you guys have that we don't have? And say, wait a minute. Look, the Led Zeppelin guitarist and Eddie Van Halen. And they're all, if you look really close, they're all holding the same pick, the pick of destiny. So it's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. They have to break in and steal it in order to become rock legends.
I like it.
And these two guys are just so funny together. You got to love KG and Jables. And early on, you know, Jack leaves his home to become a rock star, ends up in California, finds KG working on the Venice Beach playing a guitar.
Right.
And Cage takes him under his wing, decides he's going to teach him how to be a rock star. So in this scene from the film, Kyle is teaching Jack how to do the power slide, the most powerful move in rock and roll, where you drop to your knees like Pete Townsend and you slide mm-hmm. across the stage
right.
playing the guitar.
Right.
So here's Cage teaching Jables how to power slide.
Lesson number one, power slide.
It's just sliding on your knees.
Is it? Or is it the single most powerful stage move in any rocker's arsenal?
Oh.
Give me a power slide. Full throttle. No fear.
I'll give you a power slide.
How'd that feel?
Really good. How did it look?
Amazing.
Amazingly bad.
You can tell how much fun they have as Tenacious D, too, can't
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely, and it really translates on the screen. I'm telling you, you'll smile, you'll laugh. You got some great cameos by Ben Stiller, by John C. Reilly. Dave Grohl is in it. He's amazing in this movie. Meatloaf plays young Jack Black's dad. I'm telling you, start to finish, it's 87 minutes of just a smile. You will have a good time. And also, once again, feel free to smoke up before you hit this one, too. I think it'll
good advice.
You get a lot of enjoyment out of it. So that's my pick for the weekend. Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny, world's greatest band and the world's greatest motion picture. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
What up, it's your boy Jay-Z. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Excuse me, miss. Said the ladies, they love me. From the bleachers, they screaming.
What's the reason? I'm a pimp in every sense of the word, bitch. Better trust and believe.
Now what the hell are you waiting for?
Get him, Jay.
Okay, show me what you got, babe. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzy. For cheesy, my knees, he keep my arms so breezy. Can't leave rap alone, the game needs me.
Holla.
Kevin, we're going to be able to go into the Thanksgiving holiday weekend feeling a little bit better about ourselves because today we get to talk to Jay-Z. How about that? The new CD in stores just yesterday is called Kingdom Come. We thought that day would never come, but Jay-Z is back out with an all-new disc, and he joins us on the phone on the world-famous K-Rock. Jay-Z, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, my friend.
What's happening with you? Thank you.
Well, it's always great to catch up with you. I'm sure you've been asked this a lot lately, but how are you good at so many things but so bad at being retired?
Yeah, I finally found something right. That's pretty good.
I read in an interview that you said you actually believed you were retired for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And then the bugs started biting you again. There's nothing you could do.
Absolutely. You know, when I first announced my retirement, it was, you know, I was offered the president and CEO of the most important rap label, Def Jam. And
right.
It just seemed like the natural thing to do. And logically, it all made sense. But, you know, you can't account for passion.
Right.
You know?
I mean, you see Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan, big difference. You see Michael Jordan go through that when he went to play baseball, then he came back to play basketball.
Right.
I mean, it's just some people, you just can't quit what you do.
Yeah, when you...
Too much fun.
You know, sometimes you're just born to do something, and you're just emotionally attached to it.
Is part of it because your genre of music is so competitive, it seems like, that, you know, the last two or three years you're driving around listening to the radio and you hear other young guys coming up doing it, and you've got to be thinking in your back of your mind, I can do better than that dude. That's criminal that he's on the radio and I'm not when I could do it.
It was a lot of music that I was listening to, and it was like a lot of disposable music, like, you know, hits that was here today and then just going them on. And I was like, well, that's cool, and there's a place for that in hip hop, but we also got to make music that resonates with people and that, you know, people can be emotionally attached to. You know,
were you afraid when you started plotting when your comeback was going to be? Were you afraid that it would be completely overshadowed by Federline's Playing with Fire?
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
Got to be nervous
because he's such a monster force.
Jay-Z, have you ever in your long history with the music business heard a less talented person than Kevin Federline? Tell me the truth.
Yo, come on, man.
I mean, seriously, though.
I actually never heard the album.
Oh, he's so bad.
Even for a white dude, the guy's whack, right? I mean, come on.
You have to pick that up just for comedy's sake. You really do.
You'll enjoy it. What were you, when you started thinking about the songs you were going to put on the new Kingdom Come that came out yesterday? Again, if you're joining us, we have Jay-Z on the phone. Was there anything in particular you were really excited about rapping about, sharing stories you wanted to tell, ideas you wanted to get across on this album?
Yeah, that's really just my process, but usually it's a year. Usually, you know, I'm making an album every year, every 8 months I'm recording. So I had 2 years, 2.5 years off. So it was just a flood of material that I had. So, I mean, that's why your hit album is, you know, it's deep, it's emotional, it's very personal, you know, because I have so much things to talk about.
I was watching the movie channel last night, and they were showing Fade to Black again. And you were talking about how when you made the last album, it was like the Black album had to be perfect. You had to figure out, like, this is my final album. It's got to be perfect. Did you have that same pressure on yourself for coming back?
No, that's what happened. That's how I started the Black album. Then I was like, well, I have to do what I have to do, and I have to go with vibe. You know, and that's the only way I can make music, mm-hmm. You know, because I don't write music down. So I have to, it has to be a vibe to me. So, you know, I didn't plot it out technically. Mm-hmm. You know, I just went with what felt good.
That was the other weird thing that I saw, and I've seen this in many different interviews, that you don't write down lyrics ever. You just kind of hear a beat, and you sway to it for about three listens, and then you just rap a song.
Yeah.
That's not natural.
That's definitely not natural.
That's not right, Jay-Z. How come you can do that and no one else can?
It's God's gift, man.
Come on.
There's no way you could practice that or rehearse it. It's just a gift from God.
That's weird.
A lot of people who are talking about the new CD Kingdom Come are bringing up a surprising collaboration of you and Chris Martin from Coldplay, and we're going to play a clip of it here in a second, but before we hear it, why don't you tell us how that came to be?
Well, he's really like a friend of mine, you know, we really got a cool bond, and he had sent me these chords one day, and he was like, the first thing he said was, man, I know these chords are really good because I started not to send it. I started to keep it for my album. So, you know, then from there we just went. And it's very, very, it's my version of a Portishead song.
So you took the Chris Martin chords and you had Dr. Dre put a beat to it.
No, actually, he put the drums on it.
He did.
The drums at the end of the day. I was going to give it to Dre, but then you know, the next day he called back like, I think I got some drums.
Because awesome.
He was telling me how you know, the guys, he kept saying, you know, we don't got great drums over here.
Yeah, no kidding. It's so bizarre because if you were to ask people to guess who you were going to collaborate with on your new CD, I don't think Chris Martin from Coldplay would have been at the very top of that list.
I don't think it would have been.
That's pretty weird. Here's a little clip of the song.
My physical's a shell, so when I say farewell, my soul will find an even higher plane to dwell. So fly, you shell, so have no fear. Just know that life is but a beast, yeah.
I hear my agent.
Did he also send over some rapping? Did he say, hey, let me have my hand try at this. I'm going to give this a shot.
Nah.
No? How many people hand you beats on a daily basis? Because basically you're the CEO of hip hop. Do everywhere you go, hey, listen to this, man. Listen to this. Hey, I got this right here.
Someone handed me a demo in the UN. That was it for me.
In the UN.
In the UN.
Wow.
I'm not joking.
That's awesome. This is Jay-Z on the phone. We're talking about the new CD, Kingdom Come, in stores now. You know, with your, we know you love rock music too, Jay-Z. You're one of those guys who likes all kinds of music. We've heard that. Of course, we heard it in your own music with 99 Problems and other songs. You did the album with Linkin Park. Are there other rock acts out there right now that you're really impressed with, guys? You think, hey, man, I'd like to do something with them.
Well, it is going to sound like I'm self-serving, but, you know, Fall Out Boy is very exciting to me.
You were on there on a new song, right?
Yeah, what if you can hook that up?
That's also not a collaboration people could necessarily see coming.
Definitely not.
That's what you have to do in music. You have to do the unexpected. You know, you got to keep it exciting. And I just really collaborate with people that's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's talented. It's not about, you know, where they are, you know, as far as the charts go. It's really about their level of talent.
I know we're almost out of time. You're on a very tight schedule here today, but I have to ask two quick questions for you, Jay-Z. One is, how different is the job of running a record label than what you thought it was going to be before you took it on?
I mean, I was doing it at Rockefeller, but it was on a smaller level.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just... So what happened when I got into Def Jam, it was even Def Jam, which is, you know, one of the most forward-thinking companies there is, you know, was still a little boxy to me.
Right,
in this
right.
day and age, in music, you know, everything should be to the left because it's so, you know, it's changing every second.
Right.
So you can't keep doing the same thing over and over. You can't have a marketing plan and just scratch it off and put the next guy's name on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's got to be a real balance between the creative and the business aspect, too. Absolutely. Which must be frustrating for you. Last question for me is, every single one of us, Kevin included, many of our listeners, we always think, man, if I make the big bucks, I'm buying me a sports franchise. Were you bought into the New Jersey Nets? How fulfilling an experience is that to help run a basketball club?
It's incredible. But I like the way you said that. All I think about it.
Of course.
It's really, you know, it's past the dream come true, because growing up, you don't dream that far. You just can't. You can't even fathom.
Yeah, you dream about season tickets, maybe, if you're really dreaming big, right?
Right, because I'm a sports fan. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Dude, the difference between you and I is, if I owned a team, I would put myself in. That's the difference. I would play whenever I felt like it. Uh-huh. All right, Jay-Z, we know you got to go. Thanks for coming on with us today on K-Rock. Kingdom Come is the new CD. It's out yesterday. And if you want to pick it up, please do.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jay-Z.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Bye now. You guys think Jay-Z considers us part of his posse?
Oh, yeah. I bet he'll give you some of his extra Haas.
You think so?
If you asked him. Yeah.
Excellent.
I enjoyed talking to that dude. I have a lot of respect for what he's accomplished. It's plus nailing Beyonce, by the way. Let's give him some credit for that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
8:54 Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with the final showbiz beat before the holiday. Ralph, what's everybody talking about?
OJ.
Yes,
gave
canceled.
His first interview about the cancellation of his interview.
No kidding.
Oh, this interview wasn't canceled?
This wasn't interview. This wasn't canceled. This happened this morning on a radio station in Miami, Florida, where OJ explained himself and said what he intended to do by the interview in the book, If I Did It.
Okay.
He says, look, the book starts out with a statement of me saying I did not kill Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman.
Right.
It's a complete work of fiction.
Right.
It's if he did it.
Does he know that we all sat through every second of that trial on TV?
And that we all really think he did it? We all think it's creepy that he's even talking about his wife's ex-wife's murder?
Yeah.
If you considering didn't, he still has their kids?
If you didn't, would you ever?
He said, crazy. In fact, he just gave input on the first five chapters, and then somebody else wrote the rest of the book. He didn't write the whole thing.
Sure, yeah.
Meanwhile, the books have been shipped and remain in warehouses. Gloria Allred, who represents the Browns, says that the books will be destroyed. However, it is possible that one will end up on the internet because of so much interest.
Or in our hands if someone were to send it to us.
OJ also said in the interview that he doesn't have any money stashed away. The only money he lives on is what he receives from his football pension.
Sure.
He also says that the media doesn't understand him.
Right.
And is raking him over the coals.
Right. Yeah.
So he just
especially
did
Michael
this,
Richards, by the way.
The book for free?
That's what he's saying, Lisa. Uh-huh. Book was for free.
Because he's such a charitable guy.
He's a giver.
Yeah.
How is he able to survive on only $300,000 a year, by the way? It is tough for him.
He just says that so they can't get his money, that's all.
Yeah. Most people get by on a lot less. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing all right. This is interesting. I was talking about Heroes on Monday night, which was just awesome, by the way. The way they brought a lot of stuff from early in the season back around again. And Siler and Claire's dad, the cheerleader's dad, and Claire, you know, save the cheerleader, save the world. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Interesting news released today that you know Hero on the show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. You can travel through time and bend time and
love that.
and stop time.
That's my favorite one.
Teleport back and forth. It's just been announced that his father will appear on the show, and actor George Takei has been cast as his father, Lieutenant Sulu.
Oh, no kidding.
Sulu from Star Trek.
Print gay.
We'll play Hero's dad on the show in an upcoming episode.
He can just beam him wherever he wants. He doesn't have to actually, right?
Kevin.
No.
I'm very proud of you, my son. I'm glad you're teleporting around.
And the Letterman appearance for Michael Richards may not have been successful for him, but it was for Dave. Gave Dave Letterman the ratings to beat Jay Leno, which is a rarity.
And that's wrong.
That is very wrong. He got a 5.2 rating over Leno's 4.4, letting him win the evening for the late night slot. So a lot of people interested to hear what Michael Richards had to say. Here's an interesting point made by some of the comics that were at the Laugh Factory when this all happened. Someone was being interviewed, and they said they believe that Seinfeld, who was on the Letterman show that night, engineered the appearance for Michael Richards less to protect Richards' reputation, but to protect his own business interests, because he was afraid the scandal might affect the DVD sales and syndication of the Seinfeld.
That makes
episodes.
That makes sense.
Oh, I see. He's protecting that show,
that franchise,
by protecting Michael Richards.
He doesn't want ratings on the syndicated reruns to drop, and he doesn't want sales on the DVD to drop. So it's in his best interest to get this situation cleaned up and to have Michael Richards appear as good as possible, so that it doesn't have a detrimental effect on sales.
Makes sense.
Seinfeld.
It's interesting you said that. We got an email yesterday from one of our black listeners who is a big Seinfeld fan, as hard as that is to believe, and said, you know what? I don't know that I'm that interested. I usually watch those reruns. I don't know that I even want to see Michael Richards on my TV for a while.
A lot of people are saying that seeing him, regardless of the character he's playing, will carry that stigma now and will affect it. And I thought it was interesting because yesterday, you remember me talking about it, was the release of season 7.
Right.
On DVD,
which
of
is why
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld was booked on Letterman in the first place.
In the first place, exactly. So I picked one up when we were down at Best Buy signing CDs.
Right.
I picked one up and I watched the special extra features that they have on the DVD sets. And I was going through it and they had some outtakes and some lost footage. And they had one episode that, remember when George's fiance licked the envelopes and got sick from the toxic glue and died?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Apparently, the episode before that, there was a scene that they cut out. And had we seen that, I think we could have seen the whole thing coming with Michael Richards, quite frankly.
On the DVD
There was an interesting part. It's Kramer. It's him in character. But still, the things that he's saying, I think his personal beliefs are kind of bleeding through, because you get in a sense that maybe he has some issues with African Americans. And I can see why they cut the scene, because it was sort of uncomfortable. It didn't really fit in with the rest of the feel of the show.
Okay.
So I brought it in and I dubbed it off. This is Seinfeld, who's on the phone with George, apparently, finding out that Susan, his fiancée, is in the hospital. And then Kramer comes into the apartment. George, I can't believe that! All right, I'll be right there!
Jerry, I need to talk to you.
Not now, Kramer! I'm on my way out!
But Jerry, this is very important.
Not now, Kramer! George's fiancée's in the hospital!
You're kidding, what's wrong with her?
Apparently, the glue on the envelope she was licking for the invitations to the wedding was toxic! She's dying!
Oh man, that's a bummer.
I have to get down there right away!
But Jerry, wait!
What, Kramer, what?
Have you seen the new people moved in down the hall?
Yeah, what about them?
Jerry, they're
What?
I'm telling you, Jerry. Oh, they're black as night.
Kramer, I really don't think that's appropriate.
But, Jerry, they're Oh, I don't like Jerry. They steal from you.
What?
In the middle of the night, they come in and they kill you.
Kramer, this is really bothering me.
I'm telling you, Jerry, we've got in the apartment building. N****ers.
Okay, Kramer, I gotta go.
I'm telling you, Jerry, 50 years ago, we'd hang them upside down and put a fork up their ass.
Man, that ain't right. That is unnecessary. Wow. You can hear the studio audience.
They don't seem happy.
Reacting
to the
scene.
He didn't learn from that at all.
No, you'd think, you know, that reaction would have taught him something.
No wonder they cut that out.
But he kept going.
Hard to believe.
That's just rude.
And that's on the DVD.
Available now. Season 7. DVD.
People can look for that and find it in the extras.
Well, you have to look really hard.
It's an Easter egg, as they say.
It might fall off some copies, because it's right at the end of the disc. So sometimes information slips off.
I see.
Yeah. Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Little Stevie Van Zandt.
This has never been funny.
I was 26 years old today. Jamie Lee Curtis turns 48.
Looks good for nothing.
Don't even start with me.
Scarlett Johansson.
It's Kevin Beach on Kirok 106.7 KRQ 924. Before you walked in, Kevin was like, oh, yeah, but let's not call this year because we did it last year and it's not funny.
Is that a little record?
I think it might have been funny.
Why do you hate tradition?
You hate tradition like a freaking Armenian comedian on our show.
Time after time again.
Yeah.
You're worried about anything that we do?
Yes. You've got another 10 years. Yes.
Why does Kevin hate America?
I don't hate America. I hate
you. Why does Kevin hate God?
Because you better see it. This bit is funny, and it's never been.
I'm Ralph Garman. I love hilarious, first of all. And secondly, it's a freaking holiday tradition. We have very few traditions here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is the worst tradition possible.
The kids love it.
Look, you may not love How the Grinch Stole Christmas every year on TV, but you still get together with your kids, Kevin. You still watch it and go, hey, the holidays are here. Charlie Brown's on my TV. It's just something you do for the holidays.
And calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline and acting like we're chasing a turkey. Yes. That's our tradition.
It's our great pumpkin.
Remember on the West Wing all those years ago, guys? Can I play my clip that I love so much that gives me in the holiday spirit?
Cut down on
this time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys, a special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball Hotline.
Butterball has a hotline?
Yeah. It's an 800 number. The phones are staffed by experts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
God, I'm sorry. I love my country. Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball Hotline.
Yes, sir.
Yay!
If you played that again, we'd have less time to actually get a hold of them.
Didn't we take calls last year from callers to see if we should do it or not?
No.
Did we get people's opinions?
Ralph, explain to the kids who maybe are new to the show what the Butterball Turkey Hotline phone call is all about.
If you dial the 5-digit code, it has changed. Please redial.
You're a retard.
Did we reach an elf? What kind of voice is that?
You dialed the North Pole.
What niche is this?
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
What is this?
You've called the North Pole. You got Santa's workshop.
Did you call 1-800-Butterball?
Your call cannot be completed.
Okay,
what's up
hang up
with
on that?
That's bizarre.
It's 1-800-Butterball. Did you dial that?
I know what it is.
Bean and I each year call a home economist with Butterball, and usually there you have to answer questions like what temperature do you cook your turkey at, how you defrost it, what do you do with the giblets?
Welcome to Butterball.
There you go.
To be connected
but what
to our
we do is that Bean pretends to be a farmer trying to catch a live Butterball turkey.
Please
not a Butterball, a live turkey. And
options.
I play the turkey. This would have been easier to explain without the call over.
What? Do you want me to call it or not?
Maybe we're doing a little radio.
I'm hanging up. There
you
go.
Are you new?
I don't know how it works. Go ahead. Explain this fantastic bit. Because we haven't set it up for the last 5 freaking minutes. No one gets it, Ralph. Explain it to them.
I'm trying.
No one can understand the concept.
Well, I thought it would be worth
Jesus
Ralph at least
Christ.
Saying it once on the air for people listening who have never heard
Bean,
it before.
It's not worth it. Kevin wants
We've
everyone
been setting it up for 5 minutes.
Read the book before they see the movie.
So difficult to grasp. They won't get it if we just do it.
Actually, I was playing it for you so you can understand what we're doing this year.
So first you call the midgets, and then in the middle of Ralph's story, you call the actual Butterball Turkey headline. So then we can't even hear what they're saying.
Well,
oh, this is going great already.
That's how it works.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
That's how it works every year.
Sorry. Don't talk over it.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Go ahead, ma'am. Allow something to be heard.
Please wait.
Okay, we'll wait.
Thank you for calling the Butterball Turkey Hotline. All home economists are assisting other callers.
Oh, we're not doing our taxes.
If you'll shut up, she'll talk. That's what she's going to say.
You have selected cooking your
turkey. Nice work.
Press 9 at any time during this message to return to the main menu.
This is a recorded message.
If you have purchased a Butterball turkey,
it is?
You will find a folder with complete directions enclosed with...
Well, we haven't caught the
zero
yet.
So I'll push... She said push 9 at any moment.
To get out of the call,
you push 9.
You don't want the main menu.
Yes, we do.
You want it? Please wait.
All right.
Oh, jeez.
We want the main menu, Ralph.
Call volume. All home economists are unavailable to take your call. If you would like us to transfer you to the customer service department.
Yes.
There we go. Let's do that.
Oh.
I don't know what to do.
Sorry. That was not a valid reason. Right,
wait until she finishes and say zero.
Thank you, Psycho Mike.
We're sorry. That was not a valid
reason. Zero, bitch.
Just press effing zero.
Kevin, God damn it.
We're sorry. That was...
She said zero!
She said zero!
She hung up.
she hung up on you.
Because you're
how do
you get hung up on by a voice-activated menu?
God.
Jesus Christ.
What's wrong with you?
Well, or that's a very sad turkey
of the nth degree.
Right, we have time for one last try, and this is it. Then we got to move on.
It's your fault. You don't want to do it. You're
how
sabotaging it.
How dare you?
It.
I'm sabotaging it.
Oh, please.
Oh. I don't even want to do it now. Now
the fun, the international code for Uganda.
Seriously, Kevin has taken all the fun out of the bit.
Once again, you've ruined the holidays.
Excellent.
I don't even want to do it.
You're
anymore.
Like a drunk uncle.
It would have been so funny had you guys been able to pull it off.
Welcome to Butterball. To be connected to our Butterball Turkey Talk line for information on turkey preparation and cooking assistance, press or say 3. If you...
So worth it, guys. So worth it. It's going to be so funny.
Shut up.
Don't
go.
Please wait.
This is going to be so funny.
Here we go.
Everybody's going to
laugh. All right, we're in now.
Thank you for calling the Butterball Turkey Talk line.
Here we go.
All home economists are assisting other callers. If you still wish to speak with a home economist, press or say 0. For pre-recorded...
0! God damn it!
Well done. No, well done. Seriously.
Please wait.
So worth it.
Okay.
Here we go. Places everywhere.
We're in.
Due to heavy call volume,
ladies and gentlemen, you're just joining us. Couldn't have gone any better.
Killer Bean's What a New Nephew is next.
1-800-520-1907.
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? You just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
Absolutely. Done with that. It was great. If you missed it, it was the best one we've ever done.
You're a bad man, Kevin.
Kevin are show? Emailing in saying thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Nothing says holidays like the family yelling at each other, by the way.
That's true.
By the way, that is the holidays.
It makes me want to call up my sister and yell at her right now. It feels like Thanksgiving.
Time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Just in time for you to turn around and give it to somebody else as a thoughtful Christmas gift. It's a $100 gift certificate from Kevin Jewelers, California's choice for diamonds with 21 locations in a mall near you. It's called Kevin Jewelers, which means they probably won't even let you spend the certificate if they're like our Kevin.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
I did the listeners a favor. Scott in Pasadena, good morning.
Good morning. What up, dude, a-holes?
What?
What?
Oh, I don't appreciate
it.
What's wrong?
Thanks for ruining my ritual, man.
Your ritual? Your Thanksgiving ritual?
Yeah, why do you hate Kevin?
Because
Kevin.
I don't like things that aren't the least bit funny ever.
That's and all you like.
And yeah. Yeah,
look at every movie you ever go to.
And yeah, let's repeat it every single year, even though it's
Kevin,
not funny.
Yes, sir, you made it worse. Thanks.
Yeah,
yes,
let me tell you why. Let me tell you why Scott's right. Kevin is the guy who said on this show this week, yes, I'm thinking about going to see Let's Go to Prison. And then he turns around and says he doesn't like things that aren't funny.
You guys yell at me all year long for my sense of humor. And yet you
lack
call
thereof
the Butterball Turkey Hotline. That to you is somehow funny enough to repeat on a yearly basis.
Magic.
That's you guys have no taste whatsoever. I reject you both entirely.
You know what the problem is here? Is that Kevin doesn't realize that I play the farmer who's trying to catch the turkey.
I understand the bet.
And I play
Ralph
the turkey
that's
running around.
Never been funny.
In a house that he can't catch.
Not once. Manuel will take my side. And Vernon. Good morning, Manuel.
Boo!
That's what I'm saying. Boo on Dean and Ralph, right?
I hope you're still in the studio. I'm on my way. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Who?
I'm punching you in the face, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. I saved your Thanksgiving, Manuel. You should be happy for that.
Not anymore, thanks to you.
Yeah, you're the Grinch that stole Thanksgiving, bitch.
Is there one?
There is now.
All right.
Thank you, Manuel. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Raul in Palmdale, also calling on a turkey-related topic.
What it do, nephew and baby boo?
Hey, Raul.
Nicely done.
I'm not eating turkey this year.
Why? Okay.
My mom decided to buy some turkey chicks back in March, so we've been feeding them. And I saw her break the neck of the one we're going to eat tomorrow.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with your mother?
That's what you do when you raise a bird to eat, though.
Oh, but I could
you
do
break
that.
The neck in front of your kids.
Hey, come on out. It's a neck-breaking ceremony.
Break the neck. Break the neck.
Do that in secret.
What the hell?
You guys haven't seen Babel yet, but there's a Mexican wedding where they catch a chicken to cook at the reception, and it's the same kind of deal. Some of the kids are standing around going, oh, I wish I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, do that in private, for God's sakes. What's wrong with your mom?
Yeah, if it's just like Fast Food Nation. If you see where your food is coming from, if you see what's involved in putting the food on the platter, you probably won't eat it. That is true.
It's a cruel world, man. All right, let's go to Cade in Long Beach.
Oh, Cade.
Hey, Cade.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Cade, were you on that show Fast Lane?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who was his partner's name? Cade and Glick.
Glick. Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know.
What's going on, Cade?
I just want to call and confess my man crush for Psycho Mike.
Yeah!
Oh, look at that!
I want to be his new DeFuhrer.
He's right there for you, kid. What's up, man sex? He'll meet you 11 right here at the station.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I saw you guys yesterday at Long Beach.
What was that?
Crazy co-worker.
Is that a turkey you're trying to catch?
No, Ralph. No one else would think of doing that because it's not funny.
Why do you have a man crush on Mike?
He was there yesterday.
Yesterday at Long Beach.
Right.
And he's a bad mofo.
Yes, he is. And he wants your mofo.
Okay.
I'm sure what that means.
You know, Cade, it's so funny you should bring this up because I was in a conversation with one of our fellow employees yesterday who said that when Mike interviewed to work at K-Rock in a different department from the morning show years ago, he was a terrible interview. They had no personality. He didn't seem like he had any get up and go. He didn't look like he'd be a good hire, but they hired him just because he was pretty. And that's what the words that they use. He's pretty. We want to have him around because he's pretty.
Yeah. That's what happened to me too.
So
oh, yeah,
I
all body and no brain.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. He is.
That's two errors K-Rock's made in their hiring, by the way. Kevin and Mike.
All right, let's go to Josh in Moreno Valley. Good morning, Josh. What to do, nephew?
What to do, nephew, baby boo?
Hey, Josh.
Hey, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
I sent you a video clip yesterday. I don't know if you ended up getting it over the email. It was about a Robin movie. It was just a little independent trailer. I don't know if you got it or not.
Oh, is it
called Grayson?
Grayson, yeah, I did get that. Thanks so much.
That's not a Batman movie, but just a Robin movie?
No, there's this new phenomenon amongst, now that you can do all this technology yourself with home video cameras and editing on Macs and that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's called the fan films, where a lot of guys will make trailers for movies that don't exist.
Oh, I see.
They'll shoot entire trailers using their friends and special effects and actors and everything. And there's one called Grayson about Robin all grown up avenging the death of Batman. And it's got Superman in it and Robin and Commissioner Gordon and Batgirl and all this stuff. And it's really well done. It looks like a high-budget story. Sort of comic book movie.
A trailer for a movie that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
That's a good use of time.
If anybody's interested in making it?
I haven't heard that. They probably wouldn't be able to with the rights in question and stuff. But the guy did a great job with that. Thanks for sending it to me.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks.
Send it to Bean. He likes that stuff.
Yeah, that's okay. One of the listeners who showed up in Best Buy yesterday in Signal Hill had Batman and Robin earrings that she was wearing, which Ralph was very pleased to see.
Good times.
Sam in Glendale, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
Hey, Sam.
What it do?
How are you?
Good.
Well, damn, man, I've been trying to call you guys all week, but you guys were in Signal Hills. Anyways, this past weekend, I was at a whiskey bar in Sunset Marquee, and I got kind of a little tipsy at the time when this happened, and I booty busted some guy's head by accident, if you guys know the smoking area. And I was talking to him for a little bit, we were drinking, and then he passed me, you know, a joint.
Mm-hmm.
So we started smoking, and then I passed it, and then started talking to him. I was like, hey, what's your name? And this guy with this mop head, I didn't know who he was. And he's like, oh, my name is John. Next to him was Jessica Simpson. Mm-hmm. It was John Mayer.
John Mayer and Jessica Simpson.
No kidding.
So you were smoking out with John Mayer and Jessica Simpson.
You know it?
I thought they were broken up, by the way. That was a romance from a few months ago.
Dating again. They're together dating again.
What's it like talking to her when she's high?
Oh.
Can you imagine?
Was Jessica smoking too?
That I didn't see because I was already loaded by then.
Right, right.
But, you know, I got to say she's disappointing in real life.
I told you that.
I didn't know. I look at the internet stuff and all the other things, you know, the legs and everything.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that.
She looked good in her latest video, that one where she's roller dancing or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, but when you take off that gunk of makeup, what else is left?
Dude,
boobs.
I think she's sound down. Of course, she's sound down, but I think she's also neck down. I really do think her face is too honked up now to be attractive.
What?
I really do. I don't know what.
What are you guys talking about?
You said she was
up.
Her face in the new DirecTV commercials
her face does not look good.
A,
no,
she's wearing way too much makeup, but B, her face looks like it's had some plastic surgery.
This from a guy who worships Scarface Tina Fey.
You know,
a giant gash in the side of her head. But Jessica Simpson's face is honked up.
I have a question for Ralph.
Yes, sir.
What is up with the American Music Award?
They blow.
That was the worst thing I've seen in my life.
Yeah, they're a joke.
I almost kicked my TV because I didn't know how Nick Lachey is a male pop rock.
You should kick your TV. That's what you should
do. Yeah, don't watch that show. They're bogus.
A terrible show. And how about that list of people who didn't even bother to show up? Everybody from the Black Eyed Peas to the Red Hot Chili Peppers to Tim and Faith to Kelly Clarkson.
Eminem
Kelly
won.
Clarkson
he wasn't there.
Isn't showing up at an awards show. You got a bad awards show.
These were the winners. These were the ones they already told in advance they'd be winning.
Yes.
Come on down and pick up your award. No, we'll pass. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sam.
Kate, you smoking a little pot this morning, too, by the way.
Kate, you want to meet Psycho Mike for lunch today?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll hook you up.
I'm going to wreck him.
Thanks for the call.
I want to thank all of
our
guests on the Kevin and
for lunch
Beach show today, and there were plenty of them, including the great actor Hugh Jackman. Hard to believe he's got a new movie out in theaters today because we haven't heard much from him since last weekend.
Right.
But The Fountain, it's called, and that opens up everywhere today. Also, I want to thank our friend Jay-Z for joining us. His new CD is in stores.
It's I don't like Jay-Z. I don't like those black rappers.
And also thanks to Petros Papadakis for joining us, too. You can see him at 12:30 Friday afternoon. He's doing the Oregon versus Oregon State game on Fox Sports. And also at 3 o'clock, he's doing Arizona State at Arizona.
Yep, yep, yep. Cat's got a plug.
Cat's got a plizzog.
Yeah.
Cat doesn't have to.
Cat
doesn't have to.
Cat
doesn't have to rap the plugs.
Go, Cat. Go, Cat.
I can't rap.
Go, Cat.
I am so...
Go, Cat.
Can I choose from your stable of rappers to rap it?
Yeah.
Okay. So she doesn't have to rap it, just lightning?
No,
just she
lightning.
Doesn't. Kat, who comes up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, came in a little bit early today because she's got something very special happening this weekend we wanted to make sure you heard about.
Well, first up, I want to thank you guys because you guys have been really supportive of the local show and local music. So thank you for letting me come in with the plizug. But we have our first locals-only show. We're going to do it on Saturday at the Key Club. And it's 15+.
15,
you have to be older.
That's what it says, 15 plus.
Because
you're serving Kool-Aid?
I don't know. Maybe it's all ages. I don't know.
What's the drink that they're serving that 14-year-olds can't have? Hi.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Oh, Rodney likes that show.
What's going on with that?
Anyway, we have a lot of bands. Most of them were submissions for Inland Invasion.
Okay.
I'll just quickly run down. Better Luck Next Time, The Binges, Fozzie's Hero, Hemingway, Orange, Poets and Porn Stars, and The Pre. And so doors open at 7. It's like $5 or $6. And Saturday night, Key Club, we're throwing down.
15 or above. Oh.
Yeah.
15 and older,
please. That's the strangest thing I've ever
Sorry
heard.
Sorry to you 14-year-olds, but stuff's going on in there you're just not ready for.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kat,
yay,
where
106.7 K-Rock.
Rodney. Right on time, Rodney.
What if Rodney?
Guys.
Everybody, where do people go to buy
tickets? You can just go to the K-Rock.
Say goodnight.
No, we're not done, Rodney.
Get some sleep. I doubt it.
Who's going to come in next? Jed? We got Rodney here. We got Kat.
I'm a robot. But anyway, I'm out of here, and hopefully everything will work out.
I do, too.
Why do you do this?
Be safe and sane on Halloween.
No, okay. It's
remember,
Thanksgiving,
don't eat those apples
actually.
With the razor blades.
It
in.
Is Thanksgiving
tomorrow. It's a big holiday. I know it's easy to get confused.
Just go to the K-Rock calendar section. There's a link for the show. All right.
Rodney will never do a plug again.
Rodney ends his show with, well, I hope everything turns out.
I hope everything works out. That's what you say to somebody who's going into the hospital.
It is for a surgery.
Not someone you're saying goodbye to on the radio.
I hope everything works out. Don't eat razor blades.
All right. Don't eat those apples with razor blades in them. No.
Good luck with life, I guess is what he's saying.
Right. On Monday morning, we have a brand new show. And we got the iPod.
To raise pigeons.
We don't have time, Rodney.
It's like little turkeys, but they were pigeons.
We also have a guy who's selling black Christmas trees. That's on Monday.
Oh, I don't like those black Christmas trees, Jerry.
We're going to kick off Miss Double December on Monday.
Oh,
nice.
And next week is the week that you will find out information on how to buy tickets for the K-Rock 2006 Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. All right? Next week. So you have not missed it yet. It's coming up next week.
So email Kevin all weekend long, and he'll tell you exactly how to buy your tickets next
week. And my email address is bean@krock.com.
Kat, you can bypass this and send it directly to kevin@krock.com if you want.
All right.
Kat is next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. As we mentioned, she's got Sublime on the way, also 30 Seconds to Mars. That new song we were talking about from Fall Out Boy earlier today, she'll be playing that.
Yeah.
Yes, she'll be playing that as part of her 40 Minutes. Also, Foo Fighters, OK Go, STP, and more after this on the world-famous K-Rock.
We hope everything works out.
All right.
For you.